like pretzels.
I like turtles.
I like turtles.
All right, we are officially streaming. I got a spot on the corner on this side. Am I pointing right? Yes.
Spot?
Right.
You got a spot?
This side. This is where the guests are going to be tonight. So we're leaving a little space open. Kind of like DDP. See the spot in the middle? We left that just for you. And hell tension.
Sounds like
I'm just going to preface this episode by saying I'm a complete fucking disaster today, so.
Hey, man, as always, whatever you're going to do.
I think we're all there, dude.
Enjoy it. I didn't print my notes up, so.
That's all right. You got two computers now, don't you?
I do. This one's updating. Enjoy this all night, fuckers.
That's all. How's those pretzels treating you?
They're tasty.
Oh, man.
Good God. Did you have dinner yet tonight?
No. I'm going to cook dinner after the show like I do every week.
Monday nights is the last night of HelloFresh.
Oh, you getting rid of it?
No. Usually Monday night's the last night, like the last meal for the week. We get it on Wednesday, so we cook Wednesday night.
Oh.
Or we cook Thursday night, Friday night. Nelly's back. Hi, Nelly. Put a cat butthole on the hot mic.
Ding!
Yeah, baby. Cat buttholes. David LaGreca. What's this other guy's name? Todd. Keenly? I think I'm saying that right.
Oh, Jesus, Nelly. Kenley. Don't kill the cat, dude.
I didn't mean to. I was trying to get her out of the way. She's such a sweetheart. Todd Kenley, Dave LaGreca, The Shining Wizards, episode 498, The Road to 500 is almost done.
Holy shit. It's like we're fucking driving cross country and we're pulling in through Ohio right now.
It's the last leg.
Little ways to go. Not too much left, though.
It's all next tonight on the Shining Wizards Pretzel Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com. Podcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Devin Storm, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast, the best.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Lion face, lemon face. Ooh, welcome everyone to episode 498 of the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Thanks, Kev. Thank you for having my back, brother. Tony!
Oh, man. That's
there
Matt.
There we go. I got to unmute. Matt's here. He's eating pretzels. There's an echo in the hot mic.
Oh, fuck. For real?
That's what Kate... Well, I almost choked to death.
Thanks for looking out for us, Kate. We got it taken care of. Appreciate it. We're good.
All right.
I always fuck that up.
I don't have a lot of pretzels left, so that's good for anyone listening. It's bad for me, but good for anyone listening.
Oh, I got to take the cat butthole off because there's no more cat in the room. See?
Oh, yeah, I see it. I see it on the hot mic.
Hey!
Cat's ass, baby.
We are doing episode 498 tonight. We got Todd Kennelly from the United Wrestling Network talking to us about the big main event tomorrow night on their show.
Oh, yeah.
Championship on the line. Nick Aldis defends against Matt Bennett. Jesus, I'm watching Matt eat, and all I got is Matt on the mind. And first coming up, we've got one of our all-time favorites. You saw him there at the 8th anniversary show. You've seen him on a bunch of anniversary shows. And he's celebrating tonight with us. Celebrating what? Just being here with us, I guess. Mr. Dave LaGreca from SiriusXM's Busted Open. Our longtime pal, but let's throw it to my good pal, Mr. Kevin Joseph Garifo. How are you tonight, pal?
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. breaking out of the bubble, guys. I'm adventuring a little bit more. It's kind of wild.
Ooh, where'd you go?
I did the Russell Pro show yesterday, and then I went out afterwards. Ooh, mamma mia!
Ooh. Yeah,
I made my triumphant return to the beautiful Harrison Avenue Tavern of West Orange, New Jersey.
That's open, huh?
Oh yeah, they've been open, man. They got the big outside deal going on, so I went. I told myself if I'm gonna be out, I took an Uber for the first time since the pandemic.
Fucking A, dude.
Yeah, I.
Kevin's a life.
I went balls in, man. I was like, listen, am I really gonna just live in my house and
Wait,
work?
Is it balls out or balls in?
Well, I went balls out. In, but I guess I was going balls out.
Kevin's that kind of guy.
Yeah. Balls in. Like I jumped right into the deep end. I didn't pull any punches.
I've got a. It was like that. They're disturbing.
I got my negative test back, so I went to get a COVID test. Came back negative.
Fucking A, dude.
So the first people I saw were my nieces, and then I went, you know, to work. Then I went to Russell Pro. Then I went to the Hat, and
now back to the clinic.
Now back to the clinic for another test, probably tomorrow.
How was Russell Pro? Good show. Everybody happy. Everybody healthy. Everybody doing well.
Yeah, everyone was good, man. The main event was wrestled in pitch blackness. It was Pillman, Hawkins, and Heath in the main event, triple threat. Fucking the sun was gone, so it was literally wrestling in the dark. It was a dark match, as Ryan Myers put it. So it was a good show, man. I will shout out before I don't want to get too much into it, but I will shout out T.J. Crawford and Anthony Bowens for putting on a 30-minute. Extravaganza clinic, so that was great. So Matt, you're dancing, you're excited about something over there. The pretzel's that good.
I love the wrestling talk. I love the podcast. I love that you went to a wrestling show. I love that WrestlePro killed it. They're going to fucking Alaska next week. Awesome stuff. Awesome. Kevin Matthews put an amazing post up today. All the promoters that came up with like bullshit excuses in the past, like I don't know, however many fucking years, where they can't run a show for some dog shit bullshit reason. Man, Kevin Matthews and WrestlePro. Kevin Matthews is a fucking psychopath. COVID won't stop him. We're doing a goddamn show in fucking Alaska. I mean, it's what the wrestling business needs. For all the fucking shady, shitty promoters out there who wouldn't run a fucking show because some bullshit excuse. They can't get the permit. They can't do this. They can't do that. Versus what Kevin Matthews and WrestlePro is doing. That's what wrestling should be. Get your face out of my pretzels, Nelly. They're fucking right. Slaying it. And I heard Bowens and Crawford killed it. I heard the triple threat was awesome. It's great. It's great that we can talk about local professional wrestling. I know we've got Colin West on the show. I know Synergy's doing stuff. Like, it's just great to kind of have some sense of normalcy. So that's fucking awesome that you went to a wrestling show and you had a good time and you're kind of getting back in the swing of the K. J.
Yeah.
G.
I'm trying. It was funny though because they had me. Not only do I do the music, they also had me being the bell ringer last night, and that got a little dicey because I sometimes I forgot. So like the ref would be like, ring the bell, and I just wouldn't be paying attention because I thought my job was done because the music's were played. The guys were in the ring, like ring the bell, ring the bell. Then all of a sudden the crowd would be like, ring the fucking bell, and I was like, oh, all right. So, yeah, it, like you said, Matt, shout out. And a little possible spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
With the KJG and Reality Check's own KM, something might be in the works for the two of us in the Great White North of Alaska.
Oh, very interesting. Well, I'm going to give you a spoiler for next week, episode 499. We've talked about them since we started this podcast. And finally, after years,
yeah,
years, good friend, comedian, fellow wrestling fan, Chris Gethard is going to join us next week on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. So,
host of After Dark, Dark Side of the Rings After Dark show on Vice Network. So, I went to high school with Chris. Great to finally have him on.
Let's not put the cart before the horse. This is super topical.
What?
One of the participants in the Class Action Park documentary, which has been making the rounds on HBO Plus or Max or whatever it's called.
Good call.
They've changed names a few times. So, yeah. So if you have not been a longtime listener to the show and you are familiar with all the stuff that's been coming back, with all the stories about Action Park in Vernon, New Jersey. Maybe you saw the Action Point film by Johnny Knoxville. Maybe you've seen the videos on YouTube. Chris Gethard's been all over HBO talking about it. He's got some great stories. He's going to have some great stories next week when he joins us for $4.99. Dude, 499 episodes in the making, and we finally got Chris Gethard.
Yeah, that's wild. I never went to Action Park when it was Action Park. When they changed the name to Mountain Creek, that's when I started going. It was still very dangerous, though.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nothing really changed.
No, nothing at all.
But, yeah, so we'll save all the Action Park discussion for Chris next week. It'll be good times. It'll be good times. He's quite the character, that guy.
I look like a maniac on the hot mic just fucking chowing down on some pretzels. I like it.
Hey, man, if anyone's earned it, you have.
You want to know why I earned it, Kevin? Because I finally found my fucking AEW figures.
Yeah, baby.
There we go. Starting to show correct.
Figure talk.
It's when you least expect it. I had the morning off on Friday. I wanted to do something nice for my wife. So I decided to clean the shit boxes.
Oh.
All right, these cats. I don't know.
I was going to ask, your shit box or the cat shit box?
No, I don't have my own shit box. I don't have to clean my shit. I'm not a... So I was like, I got to go get litter. So I went to the Walmart here in good old Cedar Knolls. I grabbed my old cart. I fucking slathered it in fucking sanitizer. And I was off. And I was like, you know, before I even go to get the litter, I go, let's just get this out of the way now. Let's just go for disappointment. And to my pleasant surprise, the end cap had some AEW belts. It had a bunch of figures. It had some UFC figures. I was like, it's on, baby. I got the last two Young Bucks. I got the last Nick and the last Matt. And I scooped up a Omega and a Cody and a Jericho. And then I went and got my litter and some other things. And then I was texting with you guys, and I was texting with D-Generation Y. And I was like, you know what? I'm going back in to get more. And now we're doing crazy figure giveaways. What are we doing here at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast? It's crazy.
You're an animal. You're too good to the world, Matt. You're a giver.
Like, I look at him right now on the hot mic. He's all disheveled. He's stuffing his face with pretzels. Yeah, you've gone fucking loco, my friend.
Oh, I have. Look at this beard.
I know. Very unkempt. Very unlike you. Usually Kevin's the one with the maniac beard.
Yeah, I decided to stick with the stash.
I look like a homeless person.
In a home.
I fucking split my jeans the other day. I had to go buy new jeans today.
All right, let's not bury the lead, Matt. How did you not open with that?
It's just been a rough couple days, guys. A lot of work. Work's been busy. I was up late last night. I had a couple people over. Next week's guest came by to hang
out.
Get out
of here.
Yeah, really? He lives like fucking 10 minutes away from me.
Now you're really burying the lead.
Holy shit, dude. Where did you come from today?
I worked all morning.
Not literally. It's like, where the fuck did you come from that you have all this gold that you're like spewing at us like in rapid succession?
I mean, no. I have tons of gold. I can't tell you about... I mean, I don't want to spoil our 500th episode. 500th. What an asshole.
That's right.
Our 500th episode, but there's a story behind that. But I don't want to tell that story on the air.
Matt, you came in like, oh guys, I just want to warn you, I'm a disaster, like this and that. I don't know what the show's gonna be. But then you come in spitting hot fire.
He's fucking legit. He's ripping us, dude.
No, I didn't print my notes. I was playing Madden. I watched the ROH, the first ROH show that they started doing. I did some laundry, vacuumed. I'm very busy. I had to put away everything from last night. I had to cover all the furniture outside. I'm just tired. I had a couple too many drinks last night.
You and me both, pal. How did so? How was the fiesta?
It was great. Gethard came by, the professor.
Oh wow!
Yeah, just a good time.
He really buried the fucking lead on this one.
There's a whole lot of stories we could like unravel here. The onion, the rose is off the bloom, right?
Can we cancel LaGreca for 7:30?
No. We can't cancel Busted Opens Dave LaGreca. Are you kidding me?
The face of professional wrestling radio, baby.
Look, we got a new NXT World Champion. We got a new debut on AEW. They announced the G1. There are a couple more matches for Clash of the Champions.
Wait. When's Clash of the Champions?
Clash of Champions. No, it's like September 27th. It's like 2 weeks away.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What am I thinking?
It's not this week.
No, we have no picks this week.
Oh, thank God.
Sticking Bound for Glory. Bound for Glory.
Still your number one right here.
Nice flexing, buddy.
Yeah.
Been fucking working out, bro. Yo, my roundhouse is almost out there.
All right.
Do you remember that show on Nick at Night called Roundhouse?
Nope. I remember you can't do that on television.
You remember the Roundhouse on SNCC? It was like a sketch comedy show, but it also had like dancing and singing and shit.
No, I remember Skate TV.
All
right. I am.
The Roundhouse.
That's right.
YouTube it. It's a pretty snazzy show.
Roundhouse.
Did you fellas watch any wrestling this week? RASSLIN. That's wrestling.
Yeah, of course we did.
Well, let's talk about it, fuckers. It's a wrestling podcast.
We're going to hear more stories about your weekend.
My weekend was uneventful, buddy.
Sounded not the way you brought it up. Sounded like you crushed it.
Low key, buddy.
Low key. Was he there?
With who?
Low key there?
No, I did not. I would invite Low key to my house. I'd invite anyone to my house.
You would invite Low Key to your house.
Absolutely.
Hey, I wonder what that'd be like.
I don't know. It'd be really weird. I don't know what we would talk about.
Pit, Gethard?
Yeah.
He'll start Yakuza kicking everybody.
So what did we watch this week, motherfuckers?
I watched
Impact, obviously. Because I tweet the heck out of that show. So we had another Myers Mac match. We had what did we have? What was the main there? Christ.
Eric Young and Dreamer.
Oh God, yes, that was dude. And I made a mention of this. The fact that Dreamer is still like in a main event TV spot in 2020 is not only incredible, it doesn't even seem like he's a washed up like older guy. Like it fits. Like it makes sense. Like the story made sense. Him coming to avenge like Alicia Edwards and Eddie Edwards after that huge deal that they had going on. And the fact that he showed up to take on Eric Young, it felt right. It felt like a main event. And Tommy Dreamer, since ECW and maybe a cup of coffee in the main event with like Foley and Edge and Terry Funk in WWE, was never a main eventer. He was a lower card guy, and him in a TV main event against Eric Young felt right.
Yeah, so, 2020, and they fucking delivered, huh?
Hardcore. Like a lot of people give AEW a lot of slack for like juicing, and I guess in 2020 it's not the greatest thing to do, but when it makes sense, it makes sense, and it was just good. And what I also loved about Impact was that, just when I thought that the Wrestle House stuff was going to be done with, they continued storylines amongst the cast of Wrestle House in the actual show, which I was not expecting to happen. So the Wrestle House people, I thought it was going to be an invasion because the way they closed the week before, I thought it was going to be like the Wrestle House people were going to be stable amongst themselves and feud against the people that were not in Wrestle House. But it turns out that they're gonna prolong story, like they're planning a wedding now, like Johnny Bra, like it's so, and you got like Tasha Steeles and Hogan involved in it. Not that Hogan.
Brother.
It's just and now the more I talk about it, the more memories it's jogging back. It was just so well done, and Impact still continues to deliver as far as I'm concerned. And like I said, not only because I live tweet about it and because we get the love from Crazy Steve and Heath Slater and Brian Myers and Big LG, Doc Gallows. It's just, when I commit to it, it makes it more fun to me.
Of course. Well, you're watching a great product too. TJP wrestled Chris Bay on that show. And then that fucking tag match was awesome. The Motor City Machine Guns and the Rascals.
Absolutely. I could watch those guys. Like, I mean, come on. You're in there. Like, no disrespect to the Rascals. You're in there with the Motor City Machine Guns. Like, I know the Rascals are freaking great, but the Motor City Machine Guns could, like, to use the old wrestling cliche, make broomsticks look freaking amazing. And the Rascals are amazing, don't get me wrong. Not to mention that Motor City Machine Gun gear, that white gear. Oh, I'm a big gearhead, so that gear was fire. Absolute fire. And then you had if this wasn't last week, it was the week before, so I'm sorry. Myers, Willie Mack had another match. And I believe Myers won with the pulling. Well, you know, you could say he pulled the tights. I don't, because the ref didn't see it. The ref doesn't see it. Doesn't really make a sound.
Your boy's a cheater.
Listen, he's the most professional wrestler.
Seems like he's unprofessional to me, Kevin.
Ah, you're out of your balls.
You know what? I'm going to agree with Tony there. It's you know, if you're going to be professional, you can't be, you know, wrestling in your slacks and grabbing a handful of tights to get a W. But maybe
he wasn't ready to wrestle, Matt. He wasn't ready to perform, so he had to actually go to Target.
Hold on. Are you telling me that what? Impact did a segment where they took a guy in street clothes who wasn't ready to wrestle and let him wrestle versus the WWE when, like, the Miz does Miz TV and he's in his gear, so you already know there's going to be a match? Who would have thought that Impact would not treat us like we are a bunch of six-year-olds and
No. I'm going to cut you off.
Oh!
Cut you off, because here's the mistake.
Who's making a hot tag?
When you go out to the ring, you better be ready for some shit. And if you ain't ready for some shit, don't go to the ring.
No.
There you go. Whether you're wearing your jeans and your dress shoes, like Ricky Starks, who got knocked out of him a couple weeks ago, or you're fucking Kurt Hawkins, Brian Myers, going to the ring for an interview, you better be ready for some shit. And if you ain't got your gear on, that's on you. So
he just wanted to address the Impact fans on Twitch and on Access TV.
Lace them boots up.
Nah, unfair. Yeah. But you know what? He's the most professional wrestler. He answered the bell. He answered the call, and he won fair and square. Boom. The most professional roll-up.
I wouldn't call somebody who wrestles in their fucking jeans a professional. That's my opinion.
Why?
You can go down a litany of wrestlers that have wrestled in jeans.
But that's not his gear. John Cena always came out in jorts. That was his gear. I never saw Brian Myers in a pair of jorts. Did you? Maybe during sexy time, but not in a ring.
Who wears jorts during sexy time?
Come on, Kev. Jorts are fucking sexy.
To who?
To me?
Why?
That's a you problem. Matt, you had something?
Yes. I don't consider it a problem, dude.
If there was a stipulation match, maybe a Texas death match or a street fight, you would see some people wrestle in jeans, i.e. Dusty Rhodes, CM Punk, Terry Funk. Doesn't Archie always have Bunk to be wrestling gear, Tony.
Oh, yes, dude. And you know what? If they were gonna have a challenge for a fucking bunkhouse stampede or a Texas death match out of the blue, well, then he would have been more prepared. So there you go.
So you have a qualm with Lex Luger slamming Yokozuna because he was in his jeans?
That wasn't a match.
It was a challenge. You just said a challenge. It was a challenge. I challenge your challenge. Fucker.
It wasn't a wrestling match. And besides, you know what? Fuck it. Shame on Lex Luger. He should have been ready to go.
Ready to go. He body slammed him and then he hit him with the elbow.
Was he ready for a match?
No. Guess who wasn't ready? Guess who wasn't ready? The guy in his wrestling gear wasn't ready. Fucking Yokozuna took a powder because he was a fuck afraid of the red, white, and blue. Lex Express, baby.
Ah, love the Lex Express. Vastly underrated. They should have put the belt on him.
Yes. I agree with you on that, because that fucking SummerSlam finish is arguably one of the most disappointing finishes to a wrestling pay-per-view ever.
Yeah, and fuck Bret Hart, too.
Shut up. What are you talking about?
Because if Lex Luger wins at SummerSlam, Bret Hart's not getting the belt back. So
you don't know that.
They had all the way from SummerSlam to WrestleMania 10, you dick knob.
If they had that much faith in the Lex Express, that Lex Express would have been going to Mania, and he would have beat Yokozuna in the rematch.
That's the problem. They didn't have faith in it. And I tell you right now, like, wrestling fans and sports fans and everyone are so bandwagony. If they just gave him the belt, he would. Yes, bandwagony. That's right. If they just gave him the belt and just said, listen, they put the belt on worse. All right. So
that doesn't make it right.
No, but you, the way that they,
like sports, the thing about wrestling, you could always change it tomorrow. if they just had the faith and put it on him, I'm telling you right now, it would have got it would have. Ooh, hot take time, Matt. I'll let you go
Hit me.
It could have got Hogan-esque if they did it.
I don't think that's a stretch. The amount of effort they put in, they put the fucking guy in a bus and they toured him around America.
Yeah, because they couldn't fucking stand being around them. They said, get the fuck out of here. Here's
yeah,
the
but
bus.
It worked. He was the fucking Lex Express. He was Mr. USA. He looked like $1 million. In 1993, we're going to worry about how technical Lex Luger is? Yeah. No, it was fucking Vince McMahon had a throbbing boner for it. It was awesome. And he had the perfect heel in Yokozuna, and Ludwig Borga was next in line, and you had the Quebecers, the foreign fanatics. Come on!
Matt, 100% right, because you hit the nail right on the head. Like, I was like, well, he wasn't a great promo. I'm like, do you think people in 1993 cared about promos? Find me, other than Hogan, find me one good promo, and maybe Savage, in like 1992, in the early 90s. Find me one good promo. There was none.
I'll tell you who. The guy that was with Yokozuna, James E. Cornette.
Oh, all right. That's a manager. That's his job.
Oh! That's his job. No shit. He was great at his job. What's the fucking point?
But he's not a wrestler.
But he was cutting promos for the world champion for 2 years. How could you say promos were bad when you had the king of fucking promos cutting promos for your world champion?
And Tony, to your point, you could have put the belt on Luger, had him lose it somewhere between SummerSlam and the Royal Rumble, and just set up Brett Yoko again.
It didn't matter. You know why? Because the whole steroid trial was bubbling up at this point. McMahon would have been fucking out of his mind to put the belt on Luger. They got rid of Hogan, Warrior, and all these other fucking jacked up monsters. And then they're going to bring in Lex Luger.
Do we have our timeline right there, T-Donk?
Yeah, I think so. What was the steroid trial? It was in 94, wasn't it?
Aren't we kind of past this at this point?
Nope. Because Hogan left in 93. And he was looking fucking slim when he left.
Well, we're talking like late 93 to 94 at this point.
Mania 10 was when? 94.
So your timeline is Hogan beats Yokozuna for the world title at WrestleMania 9.
Then loses it at King of the Ring.
Loses at King of the Ring and then goes and does like a European tour. And somewhere in there after King of the Ring, they do the Lex Luger 4th of July body slam thing.
On July 5th, actually, I believe it was. Maybe the day after. Could be wrong. Actually, it may have been on July 4th.
It was 93, though.
Yeah, so Hogan's out.
Yeah.
He's gone, and then it's Lex Yoko at SummerSlam 93.
Yeah, June 94 was when the trial started.
It's the trial started in 94?
Let me see. What happened since the... Oh, indictments were served in 1994, November 18th. But they knew it was coming. That's why Hogan was off the gas, dude. That's why Hogan looked the way he did at WrestleMania 9.
And that's why Savage put a shirt on, too, from what reports I read. He started wrestling with that top on.
Yeah,
I thought the trial was way earlier. I didn't realize it was 94.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is when the rumor started that Jerry Jarrett was going to come in and take over, which have been since been quashed by at least Bruce Pritchard, if not a few other people.
Quashed?
In interviews.
Is quashed a word?
How does one quash?
Yeah, what's quash?
Quash is pretty much to eliminate, to make go away. I can give you the actual definition.
Oh. I've heard of squash and I've heard of kibosh.
No, quash is a legal term, actually. Reject or void, especially by legal procedure. So, in other words, if somebody issues a subpoena and they come to your house and they go, yeah, we're going to search your house. You go, yeah, no, you're not. You got that subpoena under crazy circumstances. And you go back to the judge and you want to quash the subpoena. And if you're right, then they'll quash it.
Take your Seton Hall law degree.
Two-time graduate of Seton Hall, by the way.
Roll them up real tight. Stick them up your ass and don't bring them fancy words onto this podcast with me, okay? I don't know what the I think you're making shit up. Me and Kevin think you're like borderline retarded. Quash, maybe you're having a stroke. What?
Really, the R word? Really?
You know what? I'm fucking saying retarded, okay?
Dave LaGreca joining us in 10 minutes.
Yeah, Dave LaGreca's joining us in 10 minutes. So I'm going to go, Dave, what are you, retarded? You're going to watch fucking Raw tonight? Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Hey, wait, we got the cat back. There we go. Cat asshole on the screen.
Cat
There's a delay
ass
from
fever.
What I'm watching. Nelly, don't step on the keyboard, please. Come on down.
Nelly.
Come on down. Yeah. All right.
Is that Nelly?
I got to put that on the soundboard. Isn't it? Yeah, it's Nelly, isn't it?
No.
No.
That's That's Lil Jon.
Yeah, Lil Jon.
Oh, it's no.
Usher.
Yes, yeah, Usher. Yes.
Usher.
Usher. Stanley
is E-I-E-I. Uh-oh.
Oh, what's popping in that? Or what's happening now? What is it? What's popping? And he also,
I never knew.
Am number one.
We are the whitest podcast ever, ever, ever in the podcast industry.
It's getting hot. All right,
so Kevin watched Impact.
All your clothes.
Tony, what did you watch? What gems did you watch this week?
I watched AEW Dynamite, and I watched 10 Pounds of Gold, Aldis and Bennett, which was fucking awesome. It was great to have that back. And I can't wait, because tomorrow night, I'm fucking renting Fight Night, whatever it's called, and I want to see that title match. And our boy, Alexander Hammerstone's going to be on that show, too.
There's a couple.
As well as another local fellow, Mr. Chris Dickinson. Gonna be some good shit, man. Gonna be some
loaded
good
up.
Shit. I think it's $7.99, is it? It's like half price. It's like a 90-minute show. It's gonna be fucking awesome.
I haven't seen it yet, but Hammerstone apparently landed like a national commercial deal.
Yes, and he's fucking jacked. He was in some bodybuilding competitions too in the meantime. He's a fucking genitalactic freak.
Genitalactic? What the fuck's a genitalactic? All right, so let's talk.
That means his dick is impressive.
Let's talk a little bit of Dynamite before Mr. Dave LaGreca calls. I opted out of the Wednesday night show because I had some stuff going on at home. So, but they did it, and then I finally got around to watching Dynamite Friday. Tony, what do you want to talk about, big guy?
I need to get something off my chest before we start talking about Dynamite.
Is it a turret?
I have been falling deep, deep into the abyss of listening to fucking Jim Cornette's reviews of AEW, and it's fucking killing me.
Goddamn.
It's fucking killing me. I will give you an example of what I mean. He seems to think that Chris Jericho at this point is just throwing his hands up and saying, I'm collecting a paycheck. I don't give a fuck what the fuck I do. Because he said the Chris Jericho he knew and loved would never be in a match with people like Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. He also said something along the lines of, if you look at Joey Janela and you look at Chris Jericho in the same match, Joey Janela looks like a young heroin addict that grew up to be Chris Jericho now, who also has alcoholism. And I couldn't fucking get this picture out of my mind. He's fucking ruining AEW for me. And I can't help but listen to it. I have a fucking problem.
Yeah, I think you just like listening to him be a fucking asshole.
Yeah. God damn.
I think you're, I feel like Jim Cornette is like your, like, God.
Oh.
Like no matter what he says, whether you agree or disagree, you'll always love it and respect what he says. I don't know why. Maybe I'm reaching here.
No, there's a lot of shit that he talks about that I fucking completely 100% disagree with. I think there's a lot of shit that comes out of his mouth that's absolutely despicable. But here's the thing. When he talks, he backs up everything he fucking says when it comes to wrestling.
He's a polarizing guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe that's what it is.
I've talked about like how much I fucking hate him and can't stand him and whatnot, but I started listening to something that he recapped because he's insightful and he's knowledgeable and he's a historian about the world of professional wrestling. And I think Matt brought it up a couple of weeks ago. It's unfortunate that a lot of the fans nowadays who enjoy stuff like AEW and enjoy characters like Orange Cassidy don't know the Jim Cornette that we grew up on, you know, Mama Cornette's little boy and the manager of the Midnight Express and the guy even that managed Yokozuna, who was involved in WWE, and the guy that had his own promotion in Smoky Mountain, and the guy that was part of, you know, the early days of WCW. Like, they don't know that guy. And if you watch Dark Side of the Ring, they always go to Cornette's, and Cornette's fucking entire attic is just a museum of professional wrestling.
Well, yeah.
I sign up in front of his house and said, WWE Hall of Fame is here. I guarantee you he had something on every fucking person in the Hall of Fame. Guarantee.
Here's my thing, right? You can be, he is not a dumb man. He has been in the wrestling business for 50 years. He knows how to create controversy. He knows how to keep his name relevant. He knows how to make money. So I don't like what he does, but to your point, Tony, he is very insightful. He has a great mind for the business, but I think he takes this weird avenue where he shits on a lot of stuff because he knows it chaps people's asses when you get the Young Bucks responding, when you get Joey Ryan responding, which is so ironic because he's a piece of human shit. But
Bar Wrestling is available on YouTube, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw the tweets about that. Oh, boy. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm just whatever. Like, and also, like, I don't like the WWE product, so I'm not going to waste time watching it during the week. Why is he wasting time watching AEW? Like, doesn't he have anything better to do with his fucking time?
He's a big fan of MJF. He's a big fan of the Revival. There's a lot of things about AEW that he does like, but then when he starts to put two and two together and the puzzle pieces start coming in, he's like, for everything they fucking do right, there's a whole bunch of shit they do wrong.
He also has to remember that this isn't fucking 1985 and 1996. Like, the wrestling business has completely changed 1,000%, good or bad. Like, okay, he can go and he can do his two-hour podcast every week and he can bitch and moan and say it's garbage and he doesn't like it and all his fucking followers can do the same thing. But at the end of the day, you're not going to change it that way.
All right, let's forget about Cornette. Let's get into Dynamite. Well, for however long we can before Dave calls in.
Well, we can continue the I'm sure he watched it, so I'm sure we can continue the conversation with him about it.
That's true.
Yeah, we're not going to fucking interview Dave LaGreca.
Yeah, he's just hanging.
I have questions. I want to ask him where he fucking began his career, what his relationship is like with the WWE.
That's a good question.
Tony, that's A-plus reporting on your end.
Yeah, no, I like it. Worst guest ever, Bobby Eaton, probably, right?
Wait, ours or his?
Oh, I don't fucking know.
Why
do you always make
ours?
A face? Look, Tony, all 500 episodes, all of our guests aren't home runs. We've had some fucking stinkeroos, buddy. All right?
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Bobby Eaton is awesome in the ring. Guess why he never cut a fucking promo in wrestling?
God damn.
Because he didn't have a bus or
so. You had a great match with Ric Flair. Yeah. It was good. We worked well together.
We caught him on the precipice of his scary health issues. Or wasn't he like lost for like 48 hours or something like
taking
that?
Taking a shit.
He was lost in Cleveland.
I mean, Cactus Jack.
He actually got pretty sick. Didn't they have some sort of tributes to help him raise money for his medical bills and stuff like that?
Everyone has tributes to raise money for their medical bills.
And the worst part is that documentary has yet to be released. And we interviewed him because that documentary was going to be coming out. Remember the guy that was producing the documentary was on with him?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because I think if anybody deserves one, it's an unspoken gem like Bobby Eaton, a guy who, like you said, never really spoke for himself. It'd be really cool to hear what his peers had to think about him, you know, what they had to say about him.
They loved him.
Of course they did. He's fucking Bobby. He's beautiful Bobby. What's not to love?
I mean, it's a little intimidating if he's beautiful, you know? You got to worry about your rats around him, your side piece.
No, you don't. And he married...
You don't know that?
No. Whose daughter did he marry? He married... Who's the guy that was in Memphis all those years? Not Jerry Lawler, the other guy, the little guy.
Bill Dundee?
He married Bill Dundee's daughter. And when Bill Dundee found out one of the boys was dating his daughter, he lost his shit. He was ready to kill the guy. And when he found out it was Bobby Eaton, he's like, okay, he's a good guy. I'm cool with it. Like, how does that fucking happen unless you're Bobby Eaton? Honestly, it doesn't.
Do you guys know what Bill Dundee's character was in WCW?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, fuck. We talked about this recently, didn't we?
No, not recently.
He was with fucking Regal.
He was with Regal and Squire Dave Taylor. And
wasn't with Squire Dave Taylor. This was pre Dave Taylor.
Oh, was he with Earl of Eaton or no?
No, he wasn't. He was just Regal.
Oh, just
was he Sir William?
No.
Sir William. Yeah.
You know what? I was watching. I just put like a random WCW Saturday Night on the other night. The fucking six man tag match was, holy shit! I forget. Right. It was Shanghai Pierce,
Tex Lazarus,
and I forget who the third guy. No, but it was against Scorpio, Bagwell, and a face Steven Regal.
What? What the hell did you say?
When he first got to WCW, it was fucking wild.
That is pretty crazy. Speaking of wild, ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the Shining Wizards, he is right here. He is the host, the face of professional wrestling radio, Busted Open, Sirius XM, Fight Nation. Dave LaGreca, our good friend, making his 8,000th appearance on the podcast. David, welcome back. This is the first time you're here not in a studio with us or not in a live setting. This is weird for us. How weird is it for you?
And you know what's so crazy is that about 7 or 8 times during the course of the day, I meant to change my shirt to put on a Shining Wizard shirt. And I just realized I never put the Shining Wizard shirt on because I got the 2 Shining Wizard shirts. I have the, you know, the classic Shining Wizard shirt with the logo in pink. And then I have the anniversary shirt that actually has my name on it, which I love that shirt. And I forgot to put it on, so I apologize.
Ah, it's all good.
But to answer your question, I think this might be my 5th or 6th appearance. I can't remember. It's either 5th or 6th appearance on the show.
Do you do, like, are we just another name in your Rolodex of podcasts that you go on? Or, like, when you see the Shining Wizards calling, you pick up right away?
Well, if I remember, I don't know if it was with you, Kevin, or Matt, but I think I reached out to you. And I was when are you guys going to ask me to come back on the show again?
I didn't want to throw you under the bus. I was trying to boost you up.
And I thought maybe you weren't going to ask me because I got hammered at your anniversary party.
Listen, you were probably the least hammered person in the place.
I don't even remember being on or what we talked. I don't even know if we talked about anything.
I'll tell you what we talked about, because I remember we started off a conversation and you yelled at us to change it. It was our 8th anniversary, and we started talking about Royal Rumble 1992, and you got so mad. You were like, it's your anniversary show. What are you talking about, Royal Rumble 92?
Yeah, you should be talking about yourselves, like favorite moments, favorite interviews, like moments. You're celebrating yourselves. Why are you talking about the 92 Royal Rumble? But, you know, that's not my call to make, so... But I do remember that now. Thank you.
You also joined us later in the show because you heard Matt out while you were outside taking a breather talking about jacking off in his sleep. Was that conversation?
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
That's a good conversation. See, that's an anniversary conversation.
Dave, let's have a conversation right now. Our great friend, Kate the Great, she got a cameo from you to me. Okay, Dave. You made it sound like me and Kate were a thing.
You don't think you remember that?
I don't remember. I don't even remember doing the cameo.
It's because I broke a heart rate monitor. Now he remembers.
People bitching about my cameo. I had somebody call into the show today saying that I called him Jay instead of Jason.
Oh, that guy's a jack-off. I heard that this morning.
Now, I'm not bitching about my cameo. I'm just saying my fucking wife heard it, and now she thinks Kate's my side piece, and
well,
she's
dude,
not.
Like, I mean, I didn't mean to out you, but...
But she's not! Dave, what are you doing?
Matt, let me ask you a question.
You can ask me whatever
you
want.
Did you buy the cameo?
No.
Or did she buy the cameo?
She did.
All right, so I'm just following instructions.
So she said, make it seem like I'm Matt's side piece. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that she did or didn't. That's cameo confidentiality that I can't indulge on the air.
Now,
I'm just saying it wasn't. You didn't buy it. You didn't buy it.
No, I didn't buy it. Did you?
So you know, what do you want me to do?
When you
follow the instructions that are there in front of me.
Now, you just got a little fun little walk by there. When you do the show and you guys are on Zoom, does Bully Ray or Tommy Dreamer, does their cat stick their butthole in the camera for you like mine just did?
It's never happened, not once.
I don't even know if they have cats, but.
This is the first. Usually Tommy's eating.
We were just talking about Tommy's.
We
were just talking about Tommy's appearance on Impact, his main event match with Eric Young. And we were just going over the fact that, like, it didn't seem like odd to me in 2020 that Tommy Dreamer's main eventing a show, because other than like his run in ECW, he was never really a main event guy. And I'm sure he'll tell you that too. He was always on the undercard in WWE. Sands a couple spots with Funk and Foley. How does that work? How is Tommy Dreamer main eventing a TV show and it seems normal in 2020?
Because I think that Tommy has a huge fan base and people love to see Tommy. He's still the ultimate baby face. So, you know, you're not going to complain seeing Tommy Dreamer in the main event. And honestly, too, with Impact, like they're building their roster. And I think they have a great roster. They don't have a lot of like, quote unquote, main event stars on that show yet. They have a lot of like really good wrestlers, but I don't know what, like over the top personality or characters that you would say are main eventers. So I think that's why it seems natural. I think if it was on another show, you might think differently, but I think it fits well with Impact.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And you're right about the roster build. And we've kind of talked about Impact a little bit before you joined us. So this might be retreading. But, you know, you got your guys like your Eddie Edwards, your Eric Youngs, your Mooses, even like the like your Falas, your TJP, your Chris, like they have a really strong roster. I just feel like I feel like they're at their strongest push ever right now. Does Tommy ever get into that with you in terms of how he feels Impact is building and how they're and what their plan is for the future?
No, I mean, we always talk pretty high on Impact. I know right. Tommy's very high on Impact. I think consistency, and it's been consistent like over the last few months, as Matt's you know, cat's ass is in the camera shot. It's very, very nice ass. Very, very nice. you got a nice pussy there, Matt.
Thank you.
There it is.
I just think that like consistently it's been one of the better shows over the, like the last 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't agree more.
How have you been dealing with this whole pandemic thing, Dave? I know you guys haven't been really getting together in the studio. Has it affected the way you guys do the show and the way you watch wrestling?
No, not at all. Other than Tommy was the only one who came into the studio. Everybody else was, you know, doing it from their home. Mark does it from his home. Bully does it from his home. So it's really that not that much different. And for me, I like doing it from home, you know, than commuting into the city every day. I mean, I'm not complaining. I mean, you know, I love going into New York, but, you know, it's a lot easier doing the show from home than traveling into the city. And I don't think it's really changed much as far as the dynamic and the chemistry on the air. At first, it did technically, it was a little bit off, like the first month or so. But I think once we got into the groove, it's been pretty fine.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of the same thing with a lot of, I mean, that's the world we're in now. And I feel like the more you do it, the more you'll get accustomed to it. Going off track from wrestling, do you ever see a time that it'll be necessary to go back into the studio with people and all that stuff? Or will people be complacent and happy enough with the product with everyone working from home?
It's a great question. I mean, we moved. I moved about 2 hours out of the city. So, you know, I went from being 20 minutes from the city to 2 hours from the city. So, you know, I'm prepared to just do the show from my home studio from here on out. But I also think, too, like working at SiriusXM, they did an amazing job of getting talent in every, you know, not just with our show, but across the board with every show on Sirius. And soon into the pandemic, we had, you know, Tommy Lee on, you know, drummer from Motley Crue. And he was on and he was saying that, man, doing this media tour during the pandemic, it's so much easier than like traveling around and flying to, you know, flying to New York or flying to different places to do to do a media. Now I can just do it from home. And it's, you know, it's, you can now not only have the audio, but like we're doing here, I have the video too. So it's not necessary. And I think that a lot, especially with the pandemic and what it's doing with the economy, I think a lot of companies are going to try to save money. So what better way to save money than on airfare, travel, hotels? And I think a lot of people are going to do like what we're doing now for the near future. Because I think now the technology is caught up with everything. So It's going to be a different world no matter what happens.
Have you? Sorry. Go ahead, Tony.
The only thing I'm really not enjoying is the fact that my kid is home from school. Because he's like, look, we're adults. So if we have technical problems, we can kind of work our way through it. When you're like a 10, 11, 12 year old kid and you got to put on a camera and log into a school meeting and do all your homework over the computer, it's pretty daunting for them. And even like half the time I'm trying to help them figure it out. And even I struggle with it a little bit. So if there's one thing that I don't really care for is that the kids, like, you know, with the schooling at home. And yeah, he had the option to go back, but we weren't really ready to send him back yet. We're still kind of like, you know, let's wait and see what's going to happen. But
yeah,
it's rough. It's rough.
There's a lot I don't like about it, but you're right. That's like the biggest thing. 'Cause my daughter's 17 and it's like, you know, that's where your social activity, you know, you make friends, you know, we just moved to a new town. So she doesn't know anybody. And that's where you meet people is at school. And that's how you make friends is at school. And now you're doing school from home. It's just like, it's not good just socially. And it's uncomfortable in a lot of ways. Like I talk to my neighbors, but you know, if this was a few years back, you invite them over for dinner, invite them over for drinks and stuff like that. And you can't do it. And I miss going to concerts. I miss going to like wrestling events and like, you know, even just like going to the bar and watching the football games on Sunday and eating wings. Like, it's just like, that is just, you know, I mean, it's fine to do it at home, but you know, I miss that shit. Like, you know, we would be doing this there. We'd be drinking some beers and stuff like that. You know, it's just, it's not the same.
No, it's definitely not. And speaking of growing up, we wanted to get into some AEW talk. You joined us and I feel like there's no better person to talk to about AEW then.
Why are you saying I'm like an AEW homer? Like I'm an AEW mark, Kevin?
Dave, it was literally just an intro and it was all I could think of.
Are you accusing me of, you know, just being an AEW mark and AEW fan?
I mean, clearly you're not an AEW mark because you have to be done by 8 o'clock so you can go watch fucking Monday Night Raw. So we clearly know where your allegiance lies, Mr. LaGreco.
Take it, man.
I mean, come on, man. If this was 20, let me ask you a question.
You can ask
if
me whatever
Shining
you
want. Wizards was doing a show 20 years ago, would you be doing your freaking show like while Monday Night Raw's on?
That's a good point.
No, there's no way.
It was not 20 years ago, though.
I know that. But I got to talk about it. I got to talk about this show tomorrow morning.
Just read the fucking spoilers. It's Raw Underground. It's the same shit you saw last week and the week before it. Bunch of fucking assholes running around like ninjas. Nobody cares.
It's the worst show. It's Raw's the... I mean, we can all agree, like, Raw's the worst show.
Keith Lee's in a fucking dress. What's going on here?
I always say Raw is wrestling for people who don't like wrestling.
100%. And this is weird for me to say because it used to be like a gimmick on the show for me. They call me Corporate Kevin because I would constantly defend WWE and Raw, and whenever someone threw shade at them, I would go to bat for them. But I don't know if it's the pandemic era. I don't know if what it is. But if I miss Raw and or SmackDown, sometimes I forget SmackDown's on, to be honest with you, especially now with all the sports coming back and everything. I just don't like if I miss Raw tonight after the show. Like I don't care. Like that's how bad it's gotten. And for that to happen to me is astronomically a statement of where they are in terms of their product. Don't get me wrong. I like some of the stuff they do. I love the Hurt Business. Absolutely love it. So thoughts on that and thoughts on why Raw has become so missable.
Well, I mean, a couple things. First of all, like with Raw, like it's not even a WWE thing. 'Cause I really do like NXT a lot. I like NXT a lot. And I think this last week's show was like their best show since the pandemic. It was lights out. I mean, those two matches, the Cole Balor match and the Martinez-Rhea Ripley match was off the chain. But, and I like SmackDown. I think SmackDown with Roman turning heel, I think SmackDown's been good.
Good point.
So, like, it's not even a WWE thing. It's a Raw thing. And I always say, like, if I rated the shows, Like, you know, you maybe put Dynamite at one and NXT at two, SmackDown at three, Impact at four, MLW at five, Ring of Honor at six, New Japan at seven, you know, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood at eight, you know, Arizona Championship Wrestling at nine, you know, Warriors of Wrestling at 10. Like, you know, and like maybe somewhere like around 13 or 14, it would be Raw. Like, that's like how far down. And this was the shit. I mean, Raw was the show. Like, that was the best show. And then just like over time, it's just become abysmal. And 3 hours doesn't help. I mean, fucking three. I mean,
yeah.
I do it with my wife. It's just like I'll bow out. And then I have to watch the whole show because I got to talk about it the next day. But I'll bow out like around 10 o'clock and I'll just be like, and my wife's like, you're not going to watch the rest of the show. I'll watch it in the morning. Like, I just, you know, at some point you had enough.
But you're missing the best part of the show. That's Raw Underground at 10 o'clock. That's Daddy-O Yabba Dabba Doo grabbing guys by the dick and squeezing them until they give up. Like, that's the whole best part of the show.
No.
Where else are you going to see Shayna Baszler beat up three women at once? Come on.
But the thing that gets me with Raw Underground is, like, Kevin, you mentioned the Hurt Business. Like, the Hurt Business will lose on Raw. Like, they'll, you know, Apollo Crews will tell Bobby Lashley, look up, and then he looks up, and then he takes him down and, you know, puts him in a, you know, like, it's just, the whole, like, the other week, right, he literally stomped his foot and won. Like, you wouldn't even see that, like, in Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone. He wouldn't even try that shit.
Even
stomps his foot and then beats him in the arm wrestling. And then they're like, but then an hour later, they're beating the shit out of people in Raw Underground. So it's like, it makes absolutely no sense.
Like, not even in the highest high of goofiness in wrestling where, like, Doink the Clown could get away with it. It's like you're having Apollo Crews, like, channel Doink the Clown. In that situation, it's you're making some very good points, Mr. La Greca.
No, and then you build up like Liv Morgan and like that whole like the Riot Squad, and then like you they're friends again, and they're building up, they're winning matches, and then the next week you have them lose to Nia Jax in a handicap match in 30 seconds. Like, why would you do that? You can't find anybody else for Nia Jax to beat. You got to put him, and then they have the Iconics they build up that you're actually like,
oh,
I'm into this, and then they break them up.
These two, the Iconics, could have had their own spin-off sitcom.
Yep,
as far as I'm concerned, and the three of us have talked about it on the show. They could easily be like a focal point of not only WWE, any TV show you want to put them on after Cannonball with The Miz and have a sitcom about them, and they could do it. And why they split them up, do you have any insight as to why they could have done that? Is there something that they know that we don't?
And then I'm waiting, that's why I'm waiting for Raw, because they had them break up. They hated each other. They had them break up. And then last week, they hug and they like made up. So like, are they getting back together? Like, then I'm even more puzzled, because you have them break up for a week, and then you bring them back together again. It's just like, it just feels like that show, for whatever reason, they don't think things out. They just like on the fly do shit. And then it's almost like you're watching a completely different show the next week.
Let me ask you this, because we know the guy that, other than Vince, I mean, obviously it's McMahon who runs everything, but second in command is obviously Bruce Pritchard, right? Is that a fair statement to make?
I mean, I would think, I mean, he's the head writer, so, you know, I would think that, yeah, he has some say.
I guys like Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard come across so good on their respective podcasts, but for some reason, whether it's Bischoff or whether it's Bruce, they just can't seem like to get it right on TV. And maybe that might be an unfair criticism, but it's just something that just seems apropos to me. Like, is that a reach?
No, I think it's like, and we had Bischoff on not long after that whole thing happened. And I think it's kind of like, you know, like Matt's like a five-star chef at some restaurant, like some independent restaurant. He's a five-star chef. And Kevin, you own Burger King.
Oh, I do.
And you and then you hire Matt to cook your burgers, and Matt's like, "Oh, I'm gonna like cook them this way," and people are, "No, what are you doing, Matt? This is the way we make burgers at Burger King. This is how we make the burgers. What are you doing? That's not the way we make burgers. We have a formula on how we make burgers, and this is how you make the burgers." So it's like, well, then why did you hire a five-star chef if you're just going to follow the same fucking formula? You could put anybody in that position. So I think, like, they hire these people, but it's like, yeah, but you have to, you know, and Eric Bischoff said it on our air, there's a certain formula that they follow. So you could try to change it and try to rearrange it, but at the end of the day, it's going to be the same burger. And I think it's the same thing with Raw. It's like you can change it and rearrange it and try to build up characters, but at the end of the day, it's still going to be the same formula and the same product that they follow. And I think that's the problem. And like really with Bischoff, he was what, in that position for what, 3-4 weeks at the most?
Yeah. Yep.
So how much input did you really have if you're getting let go after just a month of being on a job? You didn't really make an impact then at all.
And that's another thing. And he's refuted the fact that they, like, and a lot of people refuted the fact that they hired him just to fire him. Is that, did he mention that with you at all? Like, they hired him and then, like, oh, to escape any blame on Vince McMahon, he's going to be our guy that we're going to let go.
No, like, I don't think that's the case. I think, I don't even think, like, Eric has any animosity or anything. I think it was just like, you know, you hired me to do a job and it just doesn't seem like I'm the right fit. And they felt like he wasn't the right fit. I think that's all that it is. It just didn't fit. But I don't think they purposely hired him just to fire him. No.
Right. It's always like a job. Matt, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just leaning in.
Yeah. It's always like in sports, like you always hear the phrase, you're a coach, you're hired and you will be fired. Like, you know that, like, it's your job until it's not anymore. So it's just mind boggling to me. And I do want to talk about AEW with you because I know you're such a homer, but,
wow.
One last point about that.
I got the Cody head behind me.
I see that. God damn it. So you always say stuff that triggers new questions in my head. Like, so we're going to get, we have like another 8 or 10 minutes. We'll get to it all. But finishing up on WWE, who is the right person for that job and when can they get it and when will they be able to make it theirs?
I don't know if there's like a right person for the job. I always look at the WWE, especially like the three main shows with Raw and NXT and SmackDown. I think Raw is that variety show. I don't think Raw is ever going to change. Like, that's just a variety show. That's for a particular type of audience. NXT is for a particular type of audience, and SmackDown's for a particular type of audience. Like, I think NXT is just for the hardcore, just diehard pro wrestling, old school fans. That's why their audience that's watching that show is over 50, because I think it's just like that old school, like early 80s pro wrestling show. And that appeals to that audience. SmackDown is more of that 18 to 35 age group. And that's what's watched SmackDown. And I think that Raw is just this shit that they just throw together like a variety show. And, you know, and here's the thing. With all the ups and downs, they've been able to maintain a certain type of audience all this time. NXT had two of its highest ratings the last 2 weeks. SmackDown, you know, on primetime TV was the number one network show, 18 to 35 or 18 to 49 on a Friday night. That's a win for the WWE and Fox. So they must be doing something right. And, you know, like AEW, which, as you said, I'm an AEW homer. They got a million viewers when WWE gets a lot more than that. Just putting whatever they want on the screen.
Dave, what's wrong with being an AEW homer?
I'm not and here's the thing, I'm not an AEW homer. I've always said that my favorite show until the pandemic was NWA Power. Like, that was my favorite show.
Love that show.
And then since the pandemic, my favorite show is AEW Dynamite. It's just my favorite show.
Look, Dave, I'm with you. I don't even watch Raw or SmackDown because the WWE product just does nothing for me. So AEW is where my bread is buttered. NXT, of course, is an excellent show as well. And then, of course, I'm a big New Japan mark. So,
And I like New Japan, too. But, you know, I don't even really count that because I'm sure YouTube, I watch it on New Japan World.
Right.
So, you know, that's the only way you can watch it now. It's not on Access TV anymore. But, like, I think AEW has a great, like, it's good wrestling. It's fun. The commentators are great, especially when Jericho's in there. It's amazing. And
all right. I'm going to cut you off right there because that's, I think, where we take a different track on this. And first of all, I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about AEW sustainability overall in the long-term world of professional wrestling? And then on the commentary aspect of it, we go back and forth every now and then where I feel like sometimes they have good days, sometimes they have bad days. We love Tony Schiavone. We actually really like Excalibur. And I'm saying we, I mean me, I'm not trying to speak for the guys here. But for some reason, and I love Jim Ross, absolutely love him, but I feel like he needs to leave podcast Jim Ross at home a little bit more and become Jim Ross wrestling commentator again. How do you feel about that? I know you have a good relationship with Jim, so it's all gravy no matter what. We love him. But how do you feel about that?
I compare Jim Ross to like John Madden. Like when John Madden was doing NFL games, whether it was CBS or Fox, like there was a comfort factor with him being there. It's the same thing with JR. Like, I just love that he's there. And like, I just feel like he's going to fuck up. I fuck up all the time when I'm doing the show. I screw up all the time. It's part of the charm of the show. Like, I think people, like especially wrestling fans, they're just waiting for a mistake. They're waiting for some kind of screw up so they can jump on it and like tweet about it or post about it or talk about it. Like, to me, wrestling's better with Jim Ross on commentary. Tony Schiavone, I think, is amazing. Excalibur is, you know, a little bit of maybe too smart for his own good, but like, I like the dynamic of it. I love the fact that they have Excalibur, who's just like this indie kind of, you know, commentator, West Coast guy, you know, and he's there with JR. And then Tony Schiavone, who hadn't done wrestling in like 20 something years, is like on. I love that shit. I think it's like a great dynamic. And they don't take themselves too seriously, which I like too, you know? But they're actually talking about wrestling. They're actually talking about like what's going on in the ring. That's like such a lost art form. And I think NXT does a great job too. I'm one of the few people, I think the NXT commentating has gotten better since Moro left. I like the dynamic that they have right now. I think it's perfect. And this is, I'm not hating on Moro. I thought Moro did a great job, but like, he was he was perfect. And somebody got into his ear and said, you know, yell all the time and throw out the one-liners all the time. Like, it just felt like it was overkill. He did it too much. I love like the commentating on NXT.
You just want a new fan in Matt.
No, well, that's the problem with him. It was great when he was, it was organic, but then it was,
yes,
it was every match we're getting bombarded with Mamma Mia's. He's talking over Beth Phoenix. It just got to, it was unbearable. And then it felt like he was shoehorning the pop culture references in, and he was saying stuff that wasn't necessary. Him just screaming. I was like, I'm done. I can't listen to him anymore. It's driving me fucking crazy.
It never got that bad, Matt, but I just feel like, I think the best word you used was organic. It just didn't feel like it was organic anymore. And man, he was, I mean, like 2 years ago, I don't think there was anybody better than Moro or Nalo. Like, I just feel like somebody kind of got in his ear and said, Moro, you know, that over the top, let's be, because it seemed like it was in every single match. And you guys know, like, you know, if you're using it in every match, then where's the big matches don't become special anymore.
Yeah, we are on the line for a couple more minutes with Dave LaGreca on Twitter. Dave LaGreca.
Dave LaGreca, not Dave DeGreca. Dave LaGreca.
What did I say?
I said Dave DeGreca. I don't know what you said, but you didn't say my name right.
The one time listen, I'm a jerk. Like, I'm an idiot. I'm a bonehead. I have a memory like a goldfish. I don't remember anything. But the one thing I like is my ability to public speak, which is not going well at all right now. David LaGreca. One on Twitter and on Instagram.
It's like you're a hippie. You turned into a hippie all of a sudden. The hair's long, the plaid shirt. Like, you've given up on yourself.
You know what? You're right. I did.
And you could hear Don every day on the Michael Kay Show. Thanks for joining us tonight, Don. It's been fantastic.
Ah. Any insight to the secret project, by the way, that you...
That Don and I are doing? Yeah.
Oh, baby. You know, I get a lot of love on that show, by the way. You know that, right?
What's that?
I get a lot of love on that show.
I do. I never hear it because I don't listen. Good for you. Because I'm under protest because he doesn't listen to me, so I don't listen to him anymore. But it's good to be loved. But no, we got a special project coming up. It's October. We're dropping it October, man. Going to tell you exactly what it's going to be.
I'm not going to lie to you. I've never been more excited for anything in my life because – I'm a fan of your brother. I'm a fan of you.
Thanks, Kevin.
It's absolutely insane.
I hope it's a heavy metal podcast because I will be 1,000% all about it.
All I've been doing during this pandemic is just listening to music and like watching videos on YouTube. And there's like all these like, you know, guys that just like do top 10 lists of best metal songs and best, like, that's all I've been. It's like I'm obsessed with it. I'm like. Watching all this shit on YouTube.
How dare they steal your gimmick, the top 10 list?
No.
Boom, I got my laminated top 10 list, man. I got to expand out of wrestling now. I got a ton of top 10 lists when it comes to wrestling. I'm thinking about actually writing a book of all lists.
I like it.
Love it.
Anybody buy that, though? If I put out a book, would people buy that?
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
100%. Dave. People to buy my shirts. I'm gonna ask him to buy a book now.
People got a lot of merch, people buddy. Get your fucking head made, and we're bringing them to live like a giant Dave LaGreca.
Not anymore, though, Matt. Not anymore.
Well, I mean, no one ever made a fucking giant Matt head to bring it anywhere.
No live shows anymore. I love it seeing it in the Thunderdome. People bringing the LaGreca head to the Thunderdome. I love it.
God, what's that like for you? Because like you've literally, like, Busted Open's been a staple forever, but like, you've literally become an entity amongst yourself and are the face of Busted Open. When you have guys like Tommy Dreamer, Mark Henry, Bully Ray on the show with you, you are Busted Open. Like, how does, like, that's gotta mean, like, I'm not alone in thinking that. That's gotta mean something right there.
No, it's all, I mean, I love it. It's awesome. You know, respect from your peers is always great. You know, hearing, you know, wrestlers and commentators and saying that they listen to the show, that always means a lot to me. One of the, like, my favorite all-time moments was, I think I might have said this to you the last time I was on, or maybe that was a podcast that actually invites me that I don't have to go like chasing the hug to get on the show.
Jesus Christ, you've been on six times. What do you want?
Shining Wizards, I have to actually beg to come on, but
hold on. I've never been on Busted Open.
That's a good call, Matt.
Yeah, you know, he makes a fair point, Dave.
We're going to have to rectify that at some point. Wait, like one day when Mark, Bully, and Tommy are all have the flu,
oh God,
we'll try to get you on.
I'm on it. Let's get it. Let's still all have the flu.
God, we'll put SiriusXM out of business.
No, but you know what? You know what's crazy, though? But like when this show started, like when Busted Open first started, I would have you guys come on. I would have you guys come in studio, like, it was so under the radar when we first started. I could do like whatever I want. Like now it's like, I'm not going to say it's like it's corporate, but it is kind of corporate. You know, like I have like people to answer to and there's, you know, executives that listen. It's crazy how big the show's become.
Right. But Dave, like, Sturcio can get into the building, but he can't get one of us in to do the show. Unbelievable.
Destruction, man. It wasn't Dave Sturcio. It was Dave Destruction.
This fucking guy.
I love Dave.
I love Dave, man.
So do I, dude. I'm the Dave guy.
I'm a Dave LaGreca guy, and I get nothing. Dave, I had a Dave, fucking.
I got the shirt to prove
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I got one that I could fit my whole family in. I couldn't use it a fucking 4XL.
Dave
Jesus Sergio Christ.
Must be so upset right now after the Cowboys lost last night. Oh, my
you
God.
You reap what you sow.
Stuff.
They fucking suck. How do you like them apples?
Wow.
They do. They're overrated. They're like Africa by Toto. It's an overrated song.
That's a really good song.
It's overrated.
Africa by Toto.
It's so overrated. It's played everywhere. The fucking Weezer cover sucked.
The Weezer cover sucked. But
Weezer
the
sucks.
The original's great.
Yeah, it's overplayed.
I agree with David on this.
I had a whole argument about this last night. It's overplayed. I think it's overplayed.
That's another thing too, Matt, like during this pandemic, like, you know, you're doing shit. I am like so like been listening to like 80s pop music. I'm like obsessed with 80s pop music.
What are you listening to, Dave? This is right in my wheelhouse.
I've been listening to there's this guy who does a YouTube show. It's called what's the name? The Rock Professor. I don't know if you ever heard of him. It's called Rock Professor. I'm giving this guy a plug here.
Oh.
He just talks about like 80s pop songs that were big hits and like interviews like the artist. It's really good. But I've been listening to a lot of Tears for Fears, man. Like I never would have been listening to that shit pre-pandemic. Never would have listened to Tears. And now I'm like obsessed with Tears. Eddie Money. Like I'm obsessed with Eddie Money. I've been listening to nothing about Eddie Money all the time.
Everybody Wants to Rule the World is... In my opinion, is the best 80s song ever. In my opinion.
Dude, it's crazy that you just said that because I was actually in the car today listening to the Everybody Wants to Rule the World. I'm not lying. I'm being completely honest here. And I'm thinking this might be like the defining song of the 80s. This might be like the ultimate 80s. It was released like right in the middle of the decade. And it might be the best 80s song.
And every time I hear it, I'm thinking, how the fuck did Val Kilmer fill that whole house up with popcorn?
Dude, Matt, no lie. I'm listening to the song. The one side of my head is saying this might be the greatest 80s song of all time. The other side of my brain was saying, like, how did Val Kilmer get all those popcorn kernels into the house? Like, because... Real Genius might be the most underrated movie of the 80s.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Little before my time. But I will tell you a song that if I never hear again, I'll be perfectly okay with it, is Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
But that's 90s, though. We were talking 80s, Kevin.
I get it. I'm a little younger than these two geezers on the show.
But Kevin, we were talking about 80s, and then you throw in a 90s song. Like, I don't understand.
That's off topic, Kevin.
Yeah, that's off topic, Kevin.
Terrible play call. I apologize. Go back to the 80s. Go back to Toto and Tears for Deers.
Kevin, you watch your mouth. Don't disrespect Tears for Fears. Sowing the Seeds of Love. Mad World is their version of their
Shout.
Original. Shout. Also covered
Shout,
by Disturbed.
Shout, I think, is their number one song. I mean, I get everybody.
That's a great song. Woman in Chains. If you haven't heard Woman in Chains, Matt, play Woman in Chains once this show is over. Go put on Woman in Chains. Amazing song by Tears for Fears.
I actually know all these songs, so I'm not that out of the loop.
See?
Also, from a movie, another Tears for Fears song from a movie. That was from Boxing Helena, which is one of the worst movies of all time. Boxing Helena, you ever see that?
No.
Never saw it.
Sounds
it
like a
literally
movie.
Is Boxing Helena, putting this woman in a box.
Wait,
like a mannequin?
We're killing her?
Like, you'll have to go and watch the movie.
I don't want
to
watch you just told me it was the worst movie ever. Why do I want to watch it?
But that's my opinion. Kevin's saying that Tears for Fears sucks. It's called Tears for Deers.
That's right, I did.
Everybody has their own opinion, Matt.
Well, you know what? Everybody also wants to rule the world.
Oh, boo.
We're on with David LaGreca. David LaGreca, thoughts on All Out?
Which one?
The one from the first one.
All right, I'm in the minority on this one, but I thought it was a little too long. I thought the show was too long. But I thought it was a good show. I loved the main event between MJF and Jon Moxley. I thought that was great. I thought the Jericho Orange Cassidy match was fun.
Yeah.
I loved, you know, the Thunder Rosa match with Sheeta. I thought that match was great. The Battle Royal, the right guy won with Lance Archer, even though he has terrible taste in pizza.
Does he put fucking pineapple on his pizza?
Dude. Not only does he put pineapple on pizza,
this
he does. He's puts horse meat on pizza.
Yeah, we talked to him about the raw horse meat thing. That's
so now there's like this whole conspiracy. Now it's like it's Nita Strauss, it's Lance Archer, and now Renee like got on it too. So now it's like all these people killing me about the pineapple pizza thing.
Here's what I'm going to tell you about all those people. I know none of them personally. I spoke to Lance Archer.
They're not Italian, obviously. Right. None of them are Italian.
They clearly like the taste of shit. I'm just going to put it out there. As somebody who works pizza industry, pineapple does not go on your fucking pizza.
And you're a professional. You're a professional pizza guy.
That's right.
I am a pizzaiola.
Whoa, time out.
Listen, Nosferatu, but don't time out
Italian
over here.
Italian guy, I love me a Hawaiian pizza just like anybody else, bro.
It's fucking gross. You don't put fruit on your pizza.
You know what else I do? I get myself a garlic dipping sauce or a blue cheese dipping sauce. Dip that shit in there. How you like me now?
You dip a pineapple pizza in ranch or blue cheese? What fucking world are you from?
I'm in my own world, bro. This is the pandemic. There's no rules.
What do you have? No taste buds?
He's got a good point. There's no rules during the pandemic. We've learned that.
Don't encourage him.
No, encouragement. I need encouragement. I got to do with these two douche nozzles every fucking Monday.
That's right. David, we're gonna cut you off soon.
Wow.
Why? What do you got? Who's coming on?
No one, actually. Well, yeah.
Oh.
Listen, I don't want to keep you. I'll talk to you all day and twice on Sunday, bro.
Well, good. Let me ask Dave a question then. Let me ask. You asked enough today.
That's a good point. I did.
Dave, Nick Aldis, Mike Bennett, tomorrow night. What are you thinking? Who you got?
Nick Aldis.
Easy, just like that?
Yeah. We lost somebody. Oh, we lost Matt. Matt hung up.
Back. He's an idiot. He'll come back.
I think it's going to be a great match. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a classic. I think people are going to think a lot different about Mike Bennett after this match. And I think that it's going to really cleanse the palate of like all the shit that he went through in the WWE. But Nick Aldis is going to retain. I miss NWA Power, and man, no organization, no show got hit harder during this pandemic than the NWA did, and just everything that's happened. This is really one of the most anticipated matches for me in quite some time. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night.
Me too, 100%. And the nice thing is, our buddy Chris Dickinson's on the undercard, and Alexander Hammerstone, who's going to be, he's on the precipice of becoming a huge star. Love me some Alex Hammerstone.
I'm a big fan too. I MLW is back. I'm excited about MLW being back. So there's a lot that, I don't know if this pandemic isn't ending, but I think we're learning to live during the pandemic. I think all the organizations have done a really good job as far as like AEW with a very little crowd being outside. I think that's been cool. I really dig the Thunderdome. I think the Thunderdome is pretty cool, but man, who knows when we're going to be able to have like a packed house of, of wrestling fans again. You know, next year was LA in that new stadium, and who knows if that's ever going to happen. Think about that. Like, think about you spend all that money on a new stadium and it opens and there's no fans, So, hopefully we have a better gauge of what's going on by this time next year. And I just don't think that when we get to April of next year that we're going to be at the point where we're going to have 80,000 fans at a WrestleMania. I don't think we're even close to that again.
I agree, and I we talked about it before. I did like my first live show last night in Union, New Jersey, and it was very good. Social distance, masks required. Every one of the boys wore a mask. And it was fun. It was good. It was back to normal. But I agree with you. And it's almost to the point where, like, we're so far into this. We're like, I don't know. Like, are you losing hope? Will we ever see it again? Like, will we see that again where 80,000 people are in for WrestleMania? I know Tony's shaking his head yes. Dave, how do you feel about that?
I think we will. But honestly, you know what? The year I'm throwing out is 2025. And I know that sounds crazy because it's 5 years. But seriously, like right now, we're still in the pandemic. I mean, it's a pandemic. If I would have told you 2 years ago we would be in a pandemic, you'd be running around pulling out your hair because, like, that's major. That's like it's the worst thing that's happened to this world in 100 years. Like, it's with all the things that we've gone through, wars. This is heartbreaking. This is terrible. And we're still in it. And we're going towards the end of the year without a cure in sight. So first, you know, we got to find a vaccination. We got to find a vaccination that people are comfortable, you know, taking. So we still have to find a cure for this thing. And then once we find that, which we haven't found yet, then we got to get to the point where people are comfortable being around other people. Like, that's going to take a long time for that to happen.
Right.
So the year I'm throwing out, I know it sounds terrible, is 2025, where I think it's going to be where 80,000 fans are going to be comfortable enough being around each other in a venue. And it's going to take time. And it sucks and it's terrible, but you know, I kind of look at it like this. If you were in a terrible accident and you lost the use of your legs and you're in a wheelchair, you're not going to give up. You're still going to live, but your life would be drastically different. Right. And I think that's where we are right now. Like, our world is now drastically different, and we're not giving up hope. We're still going to fight. We're still going to live our lives, but it's completely different than it was 8 months ago, 9 months ago.
It's absolutely radical the way that we are right now. I don't think not since like 9/11 have we seen something like this, and so much is going on. Switch gears a little bit. Last question for me. With AEW, in terms of how, like, every week they seem to bring in a guy who's on the radar but not signed, an independent guy like a Warhorse or whoever, you can drop any name here, and then immediately after that there's a sign this guy campaign all over the internet. And obviously you can't sign everybody, but, like, what is your opinion on AEW quote unquote being an indie wrestler's haven where every time someone gets on Dark they're expected to have a job? That's unrealistic to me, but what is your opinion on that perception that that's going to happen?
Well, I kind of like that, you know, you're getting an opportunity. We had Ricky Starks on, and Ricky Starks was on our Get Yourself Over Monday. Like, we, you know, Bully and I came up with a concept, like, during this pandemic to have indie wrestlers on to sell merchandise and to do some things. So what's wrong? What happened?
You can't hear Matt.
Get Yourself Over Mondays. I mean, I don't know, the Shining Wizards, Get Us Over. You know, I'm just... I mean, we're not Ricky Starks, but I'm just, you know,
he's asking for a plug is what he's doing.
Oh, no, 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 no. I'm done asking Dave. I don't ask Dave. The only thing I ask Dave LaGreca is to come on the show, baby.
No, but I've plugged you guys on the show before. I've mentioned you guys on the show before.
No one's saying you haven't. I'm just saying, get me over Mondays. Come on, baby. The show. Let me come to the studio.
All right, you could go to the studio. There's nobody at the studio, Matt.
You just said Tommy's there. He's eating Oreos all day.
We do the show from our home now, Matt. And to Get Yourself Over Mondays for indie wrestlers, Matt. It's not for podcasts.
That's a good point.
I tried. Can I get a
It's not Get Yourself Over Podcast.
That should be Tuesdays.
Well, there you go.
But anyway, finish what I was saying. So we had Rick Starks on Get Yourself Over Monday. And then he got that opportunity on AEW Dark, and he said that he literally went from having like $2 in his pocket to getting signed by AEW. And not everyone's gotten signed. Like, you know, Warhorse, you know, didn't get signed. Like, there have been, you know, a lot of wrestlers that didn't get signed. So I think that's pretty cool to get an opportunity. I think that's awesome. I think AEW has done a really good job with that, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, look at some of the stuff they've done. You use Alan Angels, you put him in 5. Preston Vance is 10 in the Dark Order. It's not a super major role, but you get him in there and they get to work. Will Hobbs, who we saw have a breakout moment at the Battle Royal, and now he's got a match on Dark, and it seems like they're going to do something.
He looked great. He was like the MVP of that Battle Royal.
Yeah. It's just, you know, you get these guys exposures that maybe they definitely don't get on the regular. Like Daniel Garcia and Kevin Blackwood tomorrow night are in a tag match on Dark. And those guys, if you're from like the Western New York area, you know those guys. They're good workers, so they'll get a chance to shine. You see Jesse Sorensen's back on Dark. Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman, you know, they're getting their time on Dynamite. I love it. And I love Griff because I know him from Ring of Honor. And I like what he was doing there before the pandemic started. So I'm all about it. I love it. It's opportunity. You get to see these fresh faces. And I think as we get further into AEW, eventually Cody and the Bucks and Kenny, they're all going to go, you know, kind of away from being on screen and more hands-on behind screen. And you need to create new stars, the Ricky Starks and the MJFs.
And I think they're doing a good job with that. And look at Thunder Rosa. Look at like with what Thunder Rosa was able to do over the last few weeks. Like, I mean, everybody coming out of all that. She was probably the most talked about person coming out All Out that Saturday was Thunder Rosa. So she did a great job. So, and I know you guys are big fans too. So it's great to see her getting that opportunity.
100%.
We are on the line with David LaGreca, at David LaGreca 1 on Twitter. He's the host of Busted Open on Sirius XM satellite radio. And you can follow David over at David LaGreca 1 on the Twitter machine, at Busted Open Radio, Monday through Fridays, 5 days a week. Dave gets to talk pro wrestling with legit wrestling legends, Bully Ray, Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer. They do an unbelievable job. Rusev was on this morning. Michael Bennett was on this morning. If you're looking for your wrestling fix, definitely check them out. And then Dave's got his Cameo, and he's got his Pro Wrestling Tee store. So support.
That's right,
Dave, please.
So, I got the Cameo going. Only $25, you know, like if you want to, like for your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your side piece, whatever you want. Cameo's only $25.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
Unbelievable. Just throwing it out there.
It does. You know what? It doesn't surprise me from the guy who's telling people to eat his wife's hot, wet pierogies or whatever weird.
I'm just saying they're tasty.
They are. Look, I'm not going to say they're not tasty. I had one. It was delicious.
I know you did. See, and I'm fine with that. You know, it's 2020. So you got the Cameo.
All right, easy, Jim Cornette.
It's very, very cheap. I got to be the cheapest Cameo that there is. I got the Pro Wrestling Tee store. You got the LaGreca head shirt. You got I'm a Dave LaGreca guy, Dave LaGreca girl shirt. You got the bear shirt. You got the daddy soda shirt. Yeah. My biggest seller is the daddy soda shirt by far. Not even close. The Lack of Funds shirt. And then you got the biggest thing that I want to promote is the podcast. You know, the Busted Open podcast. You know, if you're cheap, you know, like I know the people who listen to the show are very cheap. You know, you don't have to subscribe to SiriusXM. No. Subscribe to the Bus Open Podcast. It's free. You get a 45-minute best-of version of our three-hour show, our daily three-hour show, 45-minute condensed. Today's podcast, like you said, man, on the podcast today, we got Miro, formerly Rusev, and then Mike Bennett before his big match with Nick Aldis tomorrow night that you can catch on Fight TV.
Beautiful.
There you go.
Awesome.
Dave, you are a national treasure. We really do enjoy having you join us. And we say this every time, so please listen. Anytime you want to come back on, just tell us.
Yeah.
You're a very busy man. I feel bad bothering you.
Yeah, he's right.
Oh, he just left.
Did he hang up?
Dave LaGreca just left the podcast. He peaced out.
No way.
It was time for Monday Night Raw, and he had enough of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Get the he didn't hang up. Did we hang up on him?
No.
Get the F out.
Well, in fairness, Kevin, 7:55, you're like, I just got one more question for you.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, Dave, that was the best.
I couldn't do that to you. It was too easy to hang up while you were doing that.
Kevin literally turned. He looked like Casper the Friendly Ghost. It was
and I'm already pretty white.
Fucking golden. That would have been great. But, Dave, seriously, anytime you want to shoot the shit, just you're welcome. Just call. You don't even need to tell us. Just call.
So I could just come on Skype and just, like, plug in anytime I want.
That's it.
100%.
Your face will pop up, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I want to, like, fucking war games. Who wins? Trickster against Dangerous Toys. Come on.
I would go, and Trickster's jersey. I love Trickster and Dangerous Toys from Austin, Texas. Big, really big shout out to Mark Henry's hometown. But I'd have to take Dangerous Toys.
Really?
Over Trickster.
Wow. See, I'd go with Trickster, then Jersey shenanigans and war games. You can't, you know, don't turn your back on a Jersey guy.
True.
We're all Jersey guys. Love it.
Paramus, right? Weren't they from Paramus?
I'd have to look that up. You know what else, Kevin? We're all Dave LaGreca guys.
Good point.
I'll get you guys some new shirts. Thank you.
I'm going to, Dave, don't get me one. I want to buy one.
Yeah, we'll buy them.
All right, go ahead. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/Dave LaGreca. Go
buy it. I will. I'm going to wait for the next sale because I'm cheap.
Just missed a Labor Day sale. Labor Day, 20% off.
I know. Trust me, there's going to be another one, Dave. They have like six a year.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see what we can do. All right, guys, thank you.
Dave, thank you. Thanks, again. Dave. At David LaGreca 1 on Twitter, at Busted Open Radio. Give them a follow. Dave is the best. We got Todd Keenly? Am I saying that right? I'm going to butcher this fucking guy's name. I swear to God.
God. I'm sorry if I hijacked that interview, by the way. It was just fun. I'm sorry. I talk a lot.
No, you're good. It's all good.
It's okay. We'll do another four-hour show, Kevin.
Oh, man. My bad.
I'm kidding. I'm having a good time. Tony's having a good time. Todd Keenly?
Kennelly.
Todd Kennelly. Todd Kennelly.
I'll get you that corrected. Just give me a minute.
Okay, can you do the intro?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony. It's your show, baby. This is your
come on. He's one of your contemporaries. He's a commentator, play-by-play guy. You guys can talk about Tier 1 wrestling. Well, I did commentary for Tier 1 wrestling back in the day.
I'm pretty sure he looked up to you and your performances in Tier 1. That's what he told me. He told me that he's one of your... He goes, Gordon Solie, Tony, then Matt Stryker in his list of hierarchy.
Now, and I want to do this. I want to pull like a tier one.
Fucking no selling me.
Nah, he's like listening to himself on the hot mic.
Fucking guy.
Whatever. He could be getting a call to do commentary on another wrestling show.
I got a very good text message. I didn't bring that up on the air.
Well, now's your time.
You fucking twats. You give me 2 minutes to fucking figure out that his name is Todd Kennelly so Matt doesn't sound like a complete douche and all you can do is talk shit about me? Fuck you and fuck you. How you like them apples?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
gotta be professional here. What do you like? You like pineapple pizza? You're a fucking idiot. I don't fucking...
Come to your house and kick your garbage.
What? Because you went to the hat? You're a fucking tough guy now?
I am a tough guy. I am a tough guy. I've always been a tough guy.
I'm not afraid to leave the house and grow an awful mustache.
it's a great, terrible mustache.
Man, going after the mustache, that's hard, hardcore.
I would never grow this if I didn't wear a mask 24 hours a day.
Well, I was afraid if I went in on the mullet, you would think we're like mullet hater buddies because you fucking hate Brian Pillman's haircut.
Couldn't grow a mullet.
I had a mullet. I can send you pictures of me with a mullet. Are you crazy?
Yeah, but you couldn't now.
I'm sure I could. I can grow the back.
Yeah, you can probably grow the back. You're right.
Do it. Yeah. Do it. No, mullet.
I'm not growing a mullet.
Come on. We're in fucking pandemic. Nobody gives a shit. 2020 mullet challenge. We'll all do it.
I got tired of
I'm only one step away.
Holy shit. Kevin, you look like fucking Joe Exotic.
Wait. He looks like Q from Impractical Jokers if Q got fucking sick.
David, he looks like fucking Dave Grohl.
Like, you give me the best.
Even though I hate the Foo Fighters.
How do you hate the fucking Foo Fighters?
Foo Fighters are the most overrated pop rock band of all time. They're straight cheesy cornball pop.
You're
and they're
fucking
terrible.
Out of your mind.
Terrible. I look good though.
You're fucking crazy. Stick that fucking iron up your ass, buddy.
I'm the Iron Man, baby. Iron Maiden, I like.
It's so weird. All right, what's his name, Tony? Todd Keenly?
Kennelly.
Todd Ref? Kennelly. Todd Kennelly.
Yeah, can you handle the intro? Because I'm fucking looking shit up over here.
Kevin Keenan.
I gotta get him in Skype, so fucking right. Handle the intro. Todd Jesus. Kennelly. Todd Kennelly. Fucking give Todd me everything Kennelly. To do over here. Todd Kennelly. I guess I'm calling him now?
Yeah, it's 8:30. He's expecting our phone call.
Oh, so he's not vidding up, though. Okay.
No. He's at the studio doing something. Todd
Kennedy. So I could pick my balls, and he's not going to see it.
Yes.
All right. Awesome.
You could pick his balls, and he's not going to see it.
He's on the line with us.
Mr. Todd Kennedy, how are you?
Yes. I'm great. How are you?
We're great. We're live with Mr. Todd Kennedy. He is the play-by-play commentator for the United Wrestling Network's premiere show tomorrow night on Fight TV. Todd, thanks for taking a couple minutes out of your busy schedule to join us. How excited are you for this? The NWA is coming to town. Big, big, big match. Nick Aldis, Mike Bennett, and you're there doing the play-by-play duties.
Yeah, so psyched, and especially to be live. I mean, live broadcast tomorrow, 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern. And yeah, like you said, a very intriguing NWA World's Heavyweight title matchup. Nick Aldis. You know, has held that title, you know, for his second reign since October 21st, 2018. Obviously, we've had some downtime. And then for Mike Bennett, you know, kind of out of nowhere to make that challenge and such an impassioned challenge and to have such, like, real life stakes. And it makes for a real intriguing challenger to Nick Aldis and the 10 pounds of gold. And we're just so happy to host it out here in Southern California.
Now, the card is stacked. Aldis Bennett is obviously the main event. Dan Joseph is defending the United Television Championship against Levi Shapiro. My favorite, though, and I don't know if you're familiar with him, Alexander Hammerstone Live is something that you have to see to believe. The dude is a meat castle. Are you familiar with him, and who on this card are you looking forward to most?
I am extremely familiar with Hammerstone. He's been on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood in the past. There's another promotion out here in California, PCW Ultra, in which he's the champion.
Yep.
Even called stuff up in Oregon. So I have called a lot of Hammerstone matches. And yeah, he is just a freak athlete. And if you followed his social media over the summer, I mean, the guy's unbelievable. He's a competitive bodybuilder and he dieted way down. I don't know what weight class he competed in, but, you know, basically half of his size, and then like Bane or something, you know, was able to just bulk right back up, you know, to 250 pounds or so. The guy is just so disciplined and so athletic for a guy his size. And so, yeah, I think that match with EJ Sparks, if you're not familiar with him, he's a three-time Arizona State champion on our Championship Wrestling from Arizona show. He's a great athlete. He just gave Dan Joseph, the TV champion, television champion, a real run for his money on a recent episode of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. That match is going to kick things off right out of the chute. There's going to be no talking. You know, the show's going to open, little music, little video, and we're getting straight to the action. That's going to kick us off. I can't wait for that. Outside of that, I have not, speaking of powerhouses, I have not witnessed Camille in person. So I'm really interested. You know, she's one heck of a specimen and an athlete. And she's taking on Heather Monroe, who is, you know, the top of our women's division in the United Wrestling Network, who has faced NWA champions in the past. You know, Heather Monroe faced Allison Kaye when she was a champion. You know, Heather Monroe recently faced Hikaru Shida in AEW. So, you know, I think that she can and is a veteran. I think she could definitely pose a challenge, if anybody can, for Camille. So I'm interested in that. I mean, the card is just it's all over the place, and that's what this show is really all about, is just a kind of an all-star game, all-star show, as Dave Marquez, the president, you know, of our company would say. We're, you know, it's the door's open, and that's why you have a Hammerstone on this show. That's why you have a Chris Dickinson on this show from the East Coast, another big powerhouse. Oh, yeah. So it's going to be just like a, you know, a sampler platter, man, and then all anchored by, you know, a huge main event for the 10 pounds of gold, live action. And I'm super psyched. It's going to be awesome.
Another thing that I find fascinating, and I'm so glad the NWA is bringing this back, building up to this title match, is the 10 pounds of gold series, where you really got an insight as to why Mike Bennett is stepping up to challenge Nick Aldis at this point. And it's always fascinating. I do dig, you know, the stories, the behind the scenes, the this is why I'm here and this is why I'm going for the gold. Talk to me a little bit about your perspective on the story and how that works in with your commentary. Like, I know I dabbled in commentary myself for a couple of years. Nothing compared to your resume, sir, just to put that in perspective. But I always found, like, the stories being told always did help the commentary out. So when you go into a thing, when you go into a match like this and you already know the story's built, is it that much more involved? Like, you feel like you're becoming more part of the story? Is it something that helps you? It makes things easier for you to build? Just talk to me about that process from the commentary table.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm on set right now. So we've got equipment rolling by. So that's what you're hearing. I mean, we're doing some tech rehearsals, getting things ready. But yeah, the 10 pounds of gold, you know, has been amazing. And it really pulled the curtain. And especially for this one, it just, you know, it felt so real. You saw what Mike Bennett has been through, you know, how important this is to him personally, for his family, to restore honor to his name, to his family. You see Nick Aldis, who had been out of the ring for a while, training at Tried and True. I love that present, that MMA almost style, big fight feel presentation, you know, like a documentary style. It's just, I've always, you know, I call MMA as well. I just love that style. It's built up to be, you know, a huge world's heavyweight title prize fight, and everybody loves a good heavyweight title clash, and that's what we've got. And 10 pounds of gold has done an amazing job of storytelling. And actually, I got a little bonus for you, because somebody that would know about the 10 pounds of gold even more than me, and surprise surprise, right, we didn't think he was going to be out here in LA. We thought he was going to report from San Antonio, but the voice of the NWA, Joe Galley's in the house. So I'm going to, for a little surprise, you paid for one, you get the whole set. Here's Joe for a second.
Nice.
Are these my homies? Shining Wizard.
Joe, welcome back, my man. How are you?
My favorite refrigerator magnet, the Shining Wizard, in my kitchen every day. I wear my t-shirt to bed sometimes. Thanks, guys, for sending me that merch. I appreciate it. Because I am, baby. I'm spitting hot fire today. It's Prime Time Live. We're getting ready. And today we're going to do some very exclusive stuff. So I just want to let you guys know and let all of your fans know that you want to be part of the NWA Patreon. You got to go and be a patron, because we're going to be shooting some exclusive content, some big matches with a lot of the names that you guys love. It's happening tonight. We're going to tape some stuff. We're going to put it up for all of our patrons out there. So I want to make sure everybody knows, if they haven't done so already, you got to do it now. Go be a patron with the NWA. Help support these wrestlers. Help support us. Bring you the best wrestling content. Can you guys, do you understand how excited I am? It's been months. It's been months. I am craving. I'm like a junkie. I need this. Come on. Give me some wrestling, baby.
There's no way this is the same Joe Gallagher.
This is what TK is going to have to deal with when I'm sitting here. I'm going to be screaming. You thought Stu Stone was off the chain. I'm going crazy. This all right, I love you guys. I'm going to be back to TK. Here you go.
Hold on. This is not the same Joe Guiley we interviewed.
All right, look at it. How about that? The 2-for-1 special.
Wait. All right. Kevin is doubting that was the real Joe Guiley.
There's no way
okay.
This is the same guy we had on our podcast.
Okay. You know what? Listen, he's amped up, right? He hasn't been in Georgia Public Broadcasting, you know, since March or whenever it was. So I assure you, and if you watch Primetime Live tomorrow, you will see that Joe Galley is very much in the house, exclusive. We broke the story here first, and that was very much Joe Galley.
Ah, love it. Love me some Joe Galley.
I mean, I was sold on the show already, but now that I know that Joe Galley's going to be there, it was a no-brainer. If I had any desire to change my mind, completely went out the window. That's insane, and he's insane. I didn't think he was this insane, but apparently he is.
Hey, it's insane times call for insane behavior sometimes. So he's fired up. We're all amped up. Like you said, we're doing some tech rehearsals here at Thunder Studios. We're going to film, I think, 2 exclusive matches, like you mentioned, just for the NWA. That way we'll get a little bit fired up and get warmed up and ready to go live tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, Todd, I'm fired up about this. This United Wrestling Network, it seems like such a no-brainer. And with all the promotions you're working with, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, PCW Ultra, who can we – are we going to see – oh, my God, why did I just forget his name?
What are you doing?
The MLW champion, Jacob Fatu. Are we going to see –
Fatu?
Are we going to see a Sicky Dice?
I love Fatu. I think he is one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen. I've caught a lot of his matches, too. And that is definitely a goal, is to lock in Jacob Fatu for an episode of Primetime Live coming up. So we're working on that. And, yeah, you never know who you're going to see. That's the thing. You're going to tune in tomorrow night. You're definitely – the card, as you mentioned, you said it's stacked. I think it is. But I think you'll see a couple surprises and people show up that are wanting to be in prime time and make some challenges for the next couple weeks. And we're already lining up pretty good for the following week too, because we know we've got Thunder Rosa defending the NWA Women's World Title, should she still be champion at the time, with Priscilla Kelly is the main event of week two, and more to come. So exciting times.
It's easily
that's amazing. Priscilla Kelly is challenging. That is awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be the main event of episode two of Primetime Live, and we just broke that the other day. Obviously, Thunder Rosa has just been creating huge buzz. And what I love, too, is it just shows how the doors are kind of opening up. You know, people are starting to – promotions are starting to work with one another, extending that olive branch. I think having Thunder Rosa on Dynamite and on All Out is a great step in the right direction. And who knows who might show up from AEW here at Primetime Live. Very possible. And that's what this show is all about, is you never know who's going to come walking through that door. So exciting things happening.
And you do not want to miss this Fight TV. It's $8 for episode one. But if you're a smart, smart wrestling fan, you get the bundle for $23.99. That gets you the 1, 2, 3, 4, the first four episodes. It's a no-brainer. It really is a no-brainer.
That's the way to go. That is the way to go. Well, you're going to be hooked. You're going to end up buying the 2, 3, and 4 anyway. You might as well get the bundle and save a couple bucks.
Save a couple bucks. Be an NWA Patreon. Everybody wins. Everybody's happy. Joe Galley's ready to run through a wall. TK, he's all fired up. He's ready to do whatever. This is a great time. I'm excited for this. I can't wait for tomorrow night.
Awesome, man. Awesome. We can't either. We're really, really proud of what we're putting together here, and we're going to give it everything we've got. We know that it's, with everything, all the wrestling that's out there right now, it's tough to get fans to part with some money, but we think it's priced really fairly. Especially $7.99 if you do one episode and you know you got this huge NWA World Heavyweight title matchup. That alone, you know, I think worth the price of admission, and we got a great card under it. So it's going to be exciting.
I got one last question for you, Todd, then we'll let you go because we know that you got a lot of production to do yet, but I know that throughout your career, you've been on the beginnings of a lot of the talent that we see pretty much all over the world. A lot of people we see on Wednesday nights, some people, you know, that we see on Monday and Fridays. Who's the one person right now, currently, that you think is going to be that next big breakout, that person that's going to get that next big opportunity?
That I'm seeing currently, we've got just some great talent. In the United Wrestling Network, we've got Will All Day, who you'll see on the pay-per-view tomorrow. He's from wrestles a lot at Booker T's Reality of Wrestling. Keep an eye on him. He's fantastic. Clark Connors, who is a young lion at the New Japan Dojo. You can see him on Lions Break Collision. He is just an amazing athlete. Being a young lion, you know, with that tradition, the moveset is kind of limited. But everything he does is perfect and just so aggressive and so crisp. And he's such a great athlete. So he's a guy that I would really look for as well. Those would probably be my my two top prospects of the new crop of talent that we have right now.
It's awesome. You heard it here first. I know Matt's a big Clark Connors guy, too, because he's been following a lot of the New Japan Dojo followings. So, Clark Connors and Will All Day. Keep on.
Yep, Jordan Clearwater, another guy to look for. The Golden Boy. He was trained originally by Carl Anderson. You know, big kid, probably 6'4", maybe 6'5". He's been working out of Black House MMA in LA, working on his striking and grappling, and he's another good one. So, we'll go with those for the three.
Todd, it's been awesome. Thank you. I know that you're a busy man, so we are going to let you go. We appreciate you taking the time. Follow Todd on the Twitter at Todd Kenley. This Tuesday night, Fight TV, episode one of the United Wrestling Network, Primetime Live, $8. Get the bundle. You get all four episodes. Look at the card. The card is loaded. Aldis Bennett at top. You're going to see Chris Dickinson, which out here we know the dirty daddy. He's nothing to mess with. Hammerstone, EJ Sparks, Camille in action, Dan Joseph, Levi Shapiro. It's a home run show. TK is going to be there. We just got an exclusive. Joe Galli will be in the broadcast booth. This is going to be worth every dollar. Don't miss out. Todd, we appreciate you taking the time. Anything you want to say before we let you go?
My pleasure, but just tune in tomorrow. We're back, and it's time, as I like to say. This is my blatant shill for my USC Trojan football days. It is time to fight on.
Ooh, awesome. I like it.
Todd, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your night. Good luck tomorrow. We'll be watching. We'll be rooting for you. We'll talk to you down the road.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great night. Todd Kane.
You too.
Thank you, Todd.
There we go.
There we go. Todd Kaneley?
Todd Kenley, baby.
Kenley.
Damn it.
You guys are doing this to play with me now, right?
No. At Todd Kenley on Twitter. Give him a follow. He's the play-by-play man for the United Wrestling Network Primetime Live episode tomorrow night. But you know what we always say?
Hey, guys.
We always say, Kev.
Oh, okay. The anniversary was getting pitched to me. All right. Back after this.
Here we go.
Yeah, back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
So, this is a little embarrassing. Boxing Helena is actually a movie that I know. And this Misfits song is specifically written about it. And it's one of my favorite Misfits songs. So, fuck me.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Sure.
When did they change the ink to green on the WWE ice cream sandwiches? This is I don't know if
I
it's
think old. That's a really old sandwich.
Old and delicious. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, while you eat that, we're going to support those that support us. If you have any extra dollars, a couple, one maybe, you can go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And for as little as $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. As you go up in tiers, you get more perks. I just sent out...
Tears for Fears. Tears for Gears with the Shining Wizards.
Anything above $10, you get Tears for Gears. I just sent out some gear to Michael Hammond, to Matt Garifo, to Carrazzo. So we are doing it all here. But let's take some time to thank those that support us. Of course, the Queen of the Shining Wizards, Kathy Hummer. I mentioned the King, Mr. Manny Carrazzo. Mr. Thomas Copps, the Moot Spock.
Mott, you dick!
AOP.
Wait, those are two different people, aren't they?
Who?
Isn't Cop and Moot Spock two different people?
No.
No!
He's Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock.
Well, who's Big Cop of Pump?
That's Jay.
Ah, that's Jay. That's Jay right.
Copps.
That's right. Just for the people, not for me, for the people.
AOP, Danny and Anthony Rusinello, Mr. Ryan Arthur, Sean Toe, Sean Callejo, Brett Simonello.
What are you saying?
Kate Hensler over at OnDeckIC.com. If you need a plug, if you need some tunes, go to Kate the Great, and she'll give them to you. She's also going to give Kevin a run for his money at 500. Matt Garifo.
Not happening.
Matt Mellinger.
Don't trigger me, man. Don't trigger me.
Don't be a girl.
That's the point.
Christine Friesendorf. Mark Parloni. Mark, happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday, baby! Woo!
Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinkmore. Kenny, as soon as I get some time, I'm going to watch the Joshi.
Creeps.
I got to check it out.
Creeps.
He sent one. The girl looked like a zombie. I was kind of into it. I'm not going to lie to you. You know I have a thing for the Asian people. Jay Cop, Big Cop of Pump, the only
there
person
go,
worth
Kev.
Listening to on that godforsaken podcast.
Shout out to Mott Spock.
Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock.
The Moot Spooks.
The Moot Spook. Milwaukee Tom in the house. Woo woo.
I'm a Moot Spook.
Michael Hammond. Mr. David Henry Bauer III. He's got a pal, Antonio Hollisterman, who makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, our friend True Prince of Pro on the Twitter machine. TJ Vegas, he's been with us for a long time as a fan. Richard Bordeaux from ProWrestlingSlam.net. Follow him at PW_Slam. And last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean? Doop-a-dee-doop.
I know what you mean, Kev. I know what you mean.
All right.
I just want to let you know, during the break, I received a Facebook message from a friend of mine from high school, and somebody in his area of the state was inquiring if your friend still ran the pizza truck. And I said, absolutely. Go on over to Pizza Vita and book your pizza truck events today. So he said, will do. We'll send the information along. If you want to book a pizza event, or even if you want to just get some pizza, don't forget to visit Pizza Vita in Summit. Wait, Matt,
what are you doing right now? What is this?
Me off.
Listen, I'm all for it. You want to book the pizza truck? Go nuts. But you know what you need to do before you book the pizza truck? You got to shave your fucking balls, okay?
Oh!
All right?
You're so hairs on your pizza.
So you go over to manscaped.com. You check it out. They got the ball trimmer. They got all sorts of weird shit for your balls. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what ball toner is, but for $8, plus the 20% off you save when you use the code Wizards and the free shipping, I might have to check out some Ball Toner.
Listen, it's no Ball Tony, but it's
who is Kev?
That's a good point. Ball Toner greater than symbol Ball Tony. But listen, I'm very excited for Manscaped. Very excited for the products that they offer. As a guy who's a, I mean, we're three hairy beasts here. Let's not get it twisted. And I'm very excited, especially when I want to go out and want to feel fresh. They have good scents, good colognes, good everything, and of course the Lawnmower 3.0, which I'm very excited for. And obviously, I can't recommend the other products enough. So,
can I tell you guys something? I've been cutting back on the grooming just so when my Manscaped lawnmower comes,
oh, yeah,
I'm good to go. I'm putting that sucker to the test. That sucker better be ready.
Manscaped.com, code Wizards, save 20% plus free shipping. Oh, your balls will thank you.
And we will have like real experiences by this time next week. They're sending us stuff. You'll get real life stories from us about these products. So
maybe some live Skype stuff too. No, just kidding.
No, maybe I might put my balls on the Skype if anyone wants to see them.
Guys, Patreon. Come on.
Oh, good.
You
call.
Know what? Way guys. To tie it all together, Tony. But guys. If you need a trim, go to manscaped.com. Check out the website. As Kevin said, Wizards at checkout saves you 20% and you get free shipping. They have underwear. They have T-shirts. They have ball toner. They have ball deodorant. They got
Ball Tony.
They got everything. Everything you need. Manscaped.com. Check it out. We'll have some legit fucking reads next week about our balls. So if you're not looking forward to Chris Gethard, you're not looking forward to episode 499, look forward to us talking about our balls at nauseam because Manscaped.com asked us to. So be
more
ready.
More than we usually do.
We haven't done a lot of ball talk lately.
Not lately. Well, the show's not ball talk and talk about balls, Kevin.
We're going to make up for that.
Oh, big time. 499 episodes worth of ball talk in one fucking episode. 1 3-hour tour. It's gonna be like fucking Gilligan's Island for your nether regions, people. Right.
I got 499 problems, but my balls ain't one. Boom.
Fucking puntastic night here on the Shining Wizards.
That's how we roll, baby.
Matt, what do we got? You got more newses and notices and things that we could talk about?
I think I just shit my pants.
He sharted.
Can't help with that.
Did you want to finish up AEW talk? We really didn't get to talk about Miro, Dustin losing to Brody Lee, the FTR stuff. Anything you want to cover before we brief over some New Japan news?
I mean, you guys covered everything quite well. Well, not you, but the rest of the DY crew covered everything well. I don't know. Is there anything that you want to talk about? This is your wheelhouse. You missed out on Wednesday. This is your chance to catch up, sir.
I thought it was a good show for what it was after All Out. The FTR segment, I really didn't enjoy. With Lucha, with all the tag teams at ringside, I just thought it was weird.
They were eating cake, bro. You don't like cake?
I just wasn't into it. I wasn't into it. I felt like it was out of place. The Rusev shit, Miro, awesome. Fucking awesome. I loved it.
100%.
I loved it. Yes. I think
you couldn't be further away from what he was to what he is now. It's a perfect spot. Completely reinventing.
The thing that bothered me about that was that he was too smiley, happy to be there when he came out with Kip Sabian, who's a fucking heel. That's the only thing that bugged me. Like, I get it. Like, I'm happy to be here. And it's a moment. And in that moment, yeah, it's a great thing because people are cheering for you and you're getting the allocades that you haven't had in quite a while. And you could feel the people actually supporting you and you know something good's going to come of it. It's just that you're out there with a heel. You're out there with Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford.
But there's no program. There's no like feud involved. So maybe they're transitioning Kip into a babyface. You don't know, right? So like, it's not like they're going against anybody. It's a wedding storyline.
And the other thing that pisses me off is, and I think maybe it was Kate that mentioned it. There's an awful lot of tag teams right now. We don't need Jericho and What's-His-Nuts being a tag team. And we definitely don't need Sabian and Miro on top of it if that's where they're going. That's an awful lot of fucking just thrown together makeshift tag teams that they don't need.
First of all, the Jericho-Hager thing, they're in the inner circle. It gives them something to do. where it goes is beyond me. Do I think they're going to be a permanent fucking tag team? No. I don't think Kip and Miro are going to be a tag team. I think that was a great way to introduce him, especially when you had all the other guys come out, which was silly. I liked him coming out and showing real emotion, just like I liked when Ty Conte came out and she was on the verge of tears because she just signed a fucking contract with AEW. Like, it's a real moment for them.
But she's a babyface.
I don't. Is she? Is she in the Dark Order, though? Because Anna Jay offered her to be in the Dark Order, and she kind of accepted.
She wrestled Nyla Rose. She's a babyface.
Is she?
Yes. Anyone that wrestles Nyla Rose is a babyface, because Nyla Rose is a beast, and she's a heel.
You keep acting like wrestling is, like, set in stone. Like,
Shane DeGray, bro, Vince Russo.
Like,
but that's how wrestling's been the last 20 years, Tony.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, it fucking has.
It has not.
Nick Aldis is supposed to be a heel NWA champ.
John Cena's been Shades of Gray. Roman Reigns is Shades of Gray until he turned heel. No.
Yeah, well, see, you caught yourself because he guess what? He just turned heel.
Well, he turned heel. He wasn't Shades of Gray. He's freaking black now, not white.
Okay, Nick Aldis is a heel. But you love Nick Aldis. You cheer Nick Aldis on. You cheer.
Because he's a heel, and he's a great heel. He's not a face. I cheer him because he's a heel.
You cheering makes it him a face. You're cheering for the good guy.
That's not how any of this works.
No, Matt's right.
No, he's not, Kevin.
Yeah,
Miro,
he is.
Look,
I'm ringing the bell. I'm throwing the flag.
Miro, him coming. Look, it's completely opposite of what you're programmed to fucking seeing. Him coming out and showing real emotion, that's something I enjoy. I can look past that and dive into whatever his story is, whatever he's doing with Kip Sabian on Wednesday night. That was a real reaction for him. He hadn't been in front of a crowd since he got let go. And he never probably thought he'd be in front of a crowd for who knows fucking how long. And then they bring in these pockets of people for Dynamite. And it was a real reaction. He was fucking excited.
And who's to say that where their story goes? And if maybe he doesn't just powerbomb Kip Sabian through the steeple and whatever the fucking wedding things are called.
get up on the church and powerbomb.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you will. Maybe it'll be a powerbomb from heaven to hell. Oh,
and,
God, I just booked it.
Oh, that's the tag team. Miro stays face, and Kip Sabian's a heel, and it's heaven and hell.
Booked it.
He is going to be a fucking megastar. Between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling, he's going to be a fucking star.
I'll reserve judgment on that. I'll wait and see.
Rusev has the same. He has the same deal as the Good Brothers.
Okay.
All right. I did not know that.
So when he
shitty Eminem hair, what the fuck was he thinking?
He's changed for fucking 10 years. He had to be the same fucking person. He's changing it up. Get off his dick.
All right. So let me ask you this. So if you were changing it up, you would dye your hair blonde and come out with a Mickey and Minnie shirt?
I can't speak for Rusev. I have zero sense in fashion. Apparently, that was a very expensive outfit he was wearing.
Really?
Yes,
yeah, I saw the
apparently.
Comparisons. I did something with it.
I don't watch wrestling for the fucking fashion. I watch it for the stories and the wrestling. I don't give a fuck. You could have came out in a fucking skirt for all I care. I give a shit if Keith Lee wears a fucking skirt.
He used to in NXT.
All right, moving on.
So that essentially covers AEW in a nutshell. The Wednesday night show will be back Wednesday night. I'm pretty sure I will be a part of it. My schedule for the next 2 weeks is shit, so
another party, so there you go.
And real quick, Matt Hardy addressed everything. It was what it was. He's going to go after a championship now.
He tried his wife out to let everybody know it's a work.
All right, Tony B. I'm just
if she was mad at him, she would have came down to Florida from wherever they live on the Hardy compound in North Carolina. Hell no.
Oh, because that's North Carolina to Jacksonville is such a fucking trip.
It is with them big fucking sweater stretchers she's got with the baby that she had to bring around.
She's not fucking hanging him out the window. She's fucking in a car, you dick.
They're like two fucking dogs enjoying the ride.
I'm trying to move. I don't want to hear you complain if we go late, okay? I'm trying to move this along, and you want to talk about.
You got to talk about the elephant in the room, or.
You. There is no. You are the one that's making it about Rebby's puppies.
Come on, dude. I mean, they were there for the world to see, and the 500.
She was holding a fucking baby. You couldn't see him.
I saw enough, dude.
Yeah, I don't want to know where you were looking, you fucking ghoul.
At least I wasn't talking about it on commentary like good old JR.
Look, you can say whatever you want about JR, but fucking if Anna J's shit came out in front of you, you'd be all about it too, okay? Stop giving the fucking guy a hard time.
Oh, knock it off. You're defending JR now?
Have you listened to fucking 498 episodes of this fucking podcast? We played Marry, Fuck, Kill for years.
We should bring that back.
No!
That's also a good point.
Do you understand some of the conversations we've had over Marry, Fuck, Kill? About why we would marry someone? Why we would fuck somebody?
Well, why we would kill them, too. I mean,
no, well, guess what? The kill part had nothing to do with their lady part. So let's not all act like we're a bunch of fucking choir boys around here. Look.
That was Jim Ross as Jim Ross gets. Bunch of choir boys.
Anna Jay is a sexy female. Ross is a man.
Even if we're wishing for her nethers to pop out, you wouldn't want to say that on commentary. Well, I mean, look, I was a commentator for a few years. I know a thing or two about good commentary, and talking about somebody's titties falling out is not good commentary.
Look, the only titties that were falling out at the shows you were doing were the fucking fat kids in the front rows, okay?
And I didn't commentate about him, so maybe I'm better than Jim Ross.
You couldn't see him because you were all the way in the back on a stage somewhere.
Look, all I'm saying is it's not appropriate. It wasn't okay, but he's a fucking guy. We've all done it. Everyone needs to get off their fucking high horses, acting like they're better than Jim Ross. Some of the conversations you people have behind closed doors put you in fucking prison. So knock it off.
Yeah, I don't put him on commentary.
No, you just put a fucking video on of some weird Japanese wrestling where the lady lost and then got tagged out by the referee and his young boy.
Wait. I did not broadcast that for public consumption. I talked about it. Sure.
I saw it. I saw it with my eyes.
Well, you saw it. That Hot Mike didn't see it.
Thank God.
Well, thank God. I agree with that. Something we agree on. All right, let's go.
So
I heard Master Wato lost again.
You watch your mouth about Master Wato, young man.
Wait. You hated Master Wato. I'm the guy that likes Master Wato, so don't give me shit about
Master Wato.
Yeah,
well, this has
nothing
to do with Master Wato because they finally crowned new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champions. But more importantly, Tony, they announced the fucking G1.
I know. This is all you've been talking about in the Discord.
No, it's not all I've been talking about in the Discord. I actually watched the Ring of Honor show today,
Yoshi
too.
Shit that you and Scotchy Drinksmore have been talking about.
I've never watched the Yoshi. I have to watch Yoshi. All right, I got to plug in my N64 and get it going.
Wait, I thought you didn't have one.
No, I don't. Oh, my God.
All right, let's go.
It's a Yoshi joke. It was in Mario Brothers.
It was bad. It was Kevin Grifo bad. I apologize.
No, listen, Kevin Grifo is great at everything he does.
Really?
Except for a lot of things.
Yeah, he kept Dave LaGreca on the phone for another 27 minutes.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, so they announced the 20 participants for the G1. This is who's in Block A. They will all wrestle each other, and the winner of Block A will face the winner of Block B. You got Tony's homeboy, Kota Ibushi. You got Big Tom. You got the longest-reigning IWGP Heavyweight Champion of the world, Okada. You got Shingo. You got the only guy I don't think belongs in the G1, Yujiro. You got Taichi. You got the never-openweight champion, Minoru Suzuki. You got the returning Jeff Cobb, Hula Hula Hula, the Pineapple Man.
That's right.
You got the returning Will Ospreay.
Fuck him.
And you got the returning King Switch. Jay White, bitch. Don't flip me off.
Right. No, it's fuck Jay White.
That's Block A. In Block B, you got fucking Father Grandpa, Hiroshi Tanahashi, his awful hair. You got Hiroki Goto. You got Tori Yano. You got Yoshihashi. He sucks. His hair sucks, too. You got Sonata. You got the IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental Champion, Tetsuya Naito. Why can't I say his name all of a sudden? I'm having a stroke. Evil.
No.
The former IWGP double champion, Evil. The returning. Oh, no, he was there. Never mind. Zack Sabre Jr. The returning Juice Robinson. And the returning Kenta.
Ooh.
So this kicks off September 19th. There will be 5 matches a night. And then there will be one undercard match with the Young Lions single match. And some of the matchups, the first night, right out of the gate. Okada, Ibushi, Shingo, Jay White, Big Tom, Minoru Suzuki, Jeff Cobb, Taichi, Ospreay, Yujiro. I don't think Yujiro should be in it. I think it should be Sho. Because Sho really is awesome. And with no Yo, I would love to see Sho in there. But it's Yujiro. And then Block B kicks off with Tanahashi, Naito, Zack Sabre Jr., Evil, Gota, Kenta, Toriano, Sanada, and Juice Robinson, Yoshihashi. And this goes on until October 18th. And then the A block faces the B block winner, and then we find out who will challenge for the championship at Wrestle Kingdom. We also crown new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champions as El Desperado and Kanemura beat Bushi and Hiromu. So we now have El Desperado and Kanemura as your two-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champions, and we'll see where that goes. So it's interesting. We're starting to see some of these guys come back into Japan, which is a good sign, and I could not be more excited about this. Again, as I said, Yujiro is the only guy I wish wasn't in it. I wish they really gave the spot to Sho. From my insane ramblings, do you guys have any thoughts or who you'd like to see?
Is it just me, or is it like, again, Matt, I'm not nearly into New Japan like you are, but it seems like this G1 is like the same people every year. Is that like a blessing, or like based on their consistency with their roster, or is it just like same old sort of deal? Like, who's really going to get the rub out of this?
So the way it's done the last couple of years, I mean, you've made a couple of huge stars. You've also made a couple of guys who, like Dakota Ibushi story last year was very.
What has Ibushi done? He hasn't won any belts.
He did not. He was, I think he was an important cog in the wheel with the.
Ibushi was a tag champ.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I'm talking about
after you win the G1.
Everyone thought that he was going to get the push that everyone thought that he was going to get never seemed to happen, or it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know the deals with that, and it seems to be them again, a novice New Japan guy. Spinning the wheels on Naito Okada. I thought Evil should have. That's one thing. I thought Evil should have had a longer run, but apparently they saw something I didn't. Matt, maybe you could speak to that.
I don't know. I thought Evil winning was a nice swerve, bro.
Dick.
But now I think you have a situation where Jay White's coming back. Kenta's coming back. Kenta has the briefcase for the U.S. Championship, which John Moxley still holds. And Jay White's coming back, and I really think Jay White was going to win the New Japan Cup, and I think it was going to be Jay White against Naito, and I think they pivoted to Evil. So if the storytelling is done right, which I think it will be, and none of these guys get COVID, which has been the case over there, they've done a great job since they started running these shows. None of the wrestlers have gotten sick. There's a lot to gain out of it. You could make a lot work. I think getting Kenta, Juice, Jay, Ospreay, and Jeff Cobb back. Like, if Will Ospreay won this and you got fucking Ospreay and Naito at Wrestle Kingdom, it's a matchup we've never seen. Like,
such a sick roster they have.
And fucking Ospreay is diesel as fuck. I don't know if you've seen him on Twitter. Homeboy's been eating, like, fucking ground beef and lifting weights 20 hours a day because he is big.
Good for him.
So I'm excited for this. It starts fucking Saturday. I don't know how I'm going to watch any of this with my schedule, but I'm going to find time to keep up with the G1 because it was so good last year. So I'm excited for it. And hopefully – yes, Ken.
It starts at like 4 a.m., 3 a.m. start times all the time?
Yes.
Right in my wheelhouse, buddy.
Yeah.
Right in my wheelhouse.
There's shows. They run like two a clip. There's like they run the 19th and the 20th, the 23rd, the 24th, the 27th, the 29th, the 30th, the 1st, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, the 10th, the 11th, the 13th, the 14th, the 16th, the 17th, and the 18th is the final.
All on the world gimmick.
Yes, sir.
Oh, look, this is the time of year where Kevin focuses in on New Japan once every blue moon.
Best value. It's fucking awesome. And they have the odds up. So if you're looking to bet, Okada is plus 200 to win Block A. Jay White's plus 250. Ospreay is plus 250.
They're all in the same block.
Yes.
Okada, Jay White.
Okada, Ooh. Jay White, Ospreay, Ibushi, Shingo, Big Tom, Taichi, Jeff Cobb, Minoru Suzuki, Yujiro. Block B, Sonata's the favorite to win at 150. Everyone thinks it's going to be Okada, Sonata at the final.
Ah, maybe this is where they pull the trigger on Sonata then.
Maybe.
All right.
But don't forget, Naito's in this too. If Naito wins the G1, then he can pick his opponent for Wrestle Kingdom, I think is what they do.
Oh my God, that's fucking right.
So, like, even if he loses a match, like, there's an instant feud right there, you know?
Ooh, Matt, you're scratching right where I itch, baby.
I love it. So that's why I'm super excited for New Japan. I'm sure I will bore everybody with more New Japan stuff as this tournament starts rolling. Do we have games? Do we have lists? I don't have any other news or notes, really.
Can I ask
a question? Oh, yeah. Okay.
When are we going to get back into doing Wizards Rewind?
I think whenever we want, Tony.
Because it feels like so long ago that I covered WrestleMania 17. I sort of forgot about that. That was right before everything went down with the pandemic, no?
I think it was just when it started.
I think so. It's been a while. But we should think about that. We should maybe ask the people, what do you guys want us to rewind? We'll figure. Ooh. But never mind the rewinds. Kevin's got some questions for us.
Nope, that's not the game. I have a list for you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, normally this is Shining Wizards Kevin's top five, but five wasn't good enough tonight, and we're going late. This is the top 10 list. Top 10 list, boys. Of professional wrestlers who in some way, shape, or form had sunglasses being an integral part of their gimmick.
Ooh, I like this one.
So, that's all I'm going to say, and then we can judge the list based on what happens. First of all, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you, Kevin.
All right, good talk.
Sorry.
Tony, T-Donk, Dr. Donk, Donkosaurus, Rex, Ball Tony, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
All right. So we have a top 10. I cut you right off there. We have a top 10 list because I couldn't limit it to five because there's a lot. There's probably going to be a few that I left off. Top 10 wrestlers or teams that have some way, shape, or form were kind of known for having sunglasses in their character. T-Donk, go for it.
Did you see what Bret Hart did? Gave a sunglass to a kid.
What do we got, Kev?
T-Donk, of course. You chime in right at number one. And lists are based on, it's an idea, and the idea usually comes from the number one pick. Bret Hart, number one, sunglasses in professional wrestling. And I'm open to hear the wrong answers, because the wrong answers might be better than the right ones. But there's 10. Matt, you have a guess here.
I do. Can I get a Macho Man Randy Savage?
Matt, you can. Not only can you get number one, or no, you can't get number one. You can get a Macho Man. You can get a Macho number three. Macho Man is number three. Outlandish, great sunglasses, and everything that he's had. So, yes.
I am going to go with, yes, I am a model. Rick Martel.
Tony, didn't think about him.
What?
He's not on the list.
What?
I'm going to note it because it's a good guess.
What?
I'm sorry, dude. That's a good guess. They're all going to be good. Except for maybe one. You might have a problem with one. Let's see. Not number one because you got number one. Let's see. 10, 9, 8. 8 you might have trouble with. 6 is good. All right.
Matt decided to leave the show. I'm going to keep going.
Rock and roll, baby.
Would you consider Orange Cassidy for your top 10?
T-Donk. I did.
Woo-hoo!
And he is number 6 on the list. And I will repeat that for Matt as he... Oh, my God. What a slop bucket.
Jesus Christ, dude.
What a freaking slop bucket. All right. So, Matt.
What I miss? I had to pee. I'm sorry.
That was okay. Tony guessed Rick Martel, did not get it, which is a great guess. But then he also followed up with Orange Cassidy, which was number 6.
Okay. Can I get it? HBK, Shawn Michaels.
You cannot. He is not on the list.
Really?
Dick.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're spanning a long time.
All right. Can I get a Big Boss Man?
Ah, that's a good one, too. No, you can't get a Big Boss Man. Motherfucker. Donkers.
I know it was early in his run, but I'm going to say Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
Another good guess. Thought about him. Not on the list.
This is a top 10 list, and we're fucking got, we missed four of them already.
Striking out, baby. Because you're going to see the ones that are on.
I'm gonna go a direction that a lot of people don't think I'm going to go. Can I get a Sasha Banks?
Matt, about an hour ago, you could have had a Sasha Banks. She was removed from the list.
Wow.
For somebody else. For a team, no less.
A team with sunglasses.
There's actually, I'll do this. There are two tag teams on this list.
Let me, is there somebody on the list twice?
Oh, that's a good question. It's not the Hart Foundation, so no.
Okay.
All right, there you go. I was thinking that too. Because the only thing I remember is Jim Neidhart taking off Bret Hart's glasses in the corner all the time.
Good call. But great moment, not on the list.
Fuck. Oh, Natural Butch Reed.
Not even close.
Super Callow.
Great guess, Matt. But not on the list.
Wow.
Because I didn't even think about him. But if I did, he would have been right there at the
top. I got
one. There you go.
John Morrison.
Ooh, another good guess. Nope, not on the list.
What the fuck, man? Does your boyfriend, The Miz, wear fucking glasses?
Nope, he's not on the list.
Okay.
The Rock?
T-Donk. Coming in hot. Number 7. The Rock is only on the list because it's literally the pull down the glasses, raise the eyebrow. The Rock is number 7.
Oh, fuck. Is Double J on the list?
Fucking Christ, that's another good one. No, not on the list. That's a great one, actually. That's a... Guys, when you hear number 2, oh, boys.
You didn't put Koala Face on there, did you?
It was Koala Face.
What's her name? The fucking Zack Ryder's old girlfriend.
There's no woman on the list. Sasha Banks would have been the only one.
Wait, maybe... you didn't put Fabulous Moolah on the list?
What, did you guess Fabulous Moolah?
All right, I'm guessing Fabulous
Moolah. No, well, no, she's not on the list.
Rikishi.
Fuck, that's another good one. No, not on the list.
Wait, and fucking What's His Nuts too? Fucking Jerry Lawler's kid. He used to go up to the top, put the goggles on.
Too those cool. Goggles, not too cool.
Yeah, he used to come to the ring dancing with him and shit. No,
those are goggles. They're not sunglasses.
Fuck me running.
American Badass, Undertaker.
No.
Oh, American Males.
No.
DDP. DDP.
No. DDP?
I don't know.
Diamond Stud, baby.
No. That was Scott Hall, by the way.
Sorry. Jesus, what a jerk off. Sergeant Slaughter.
Nope.
What? Kev, you had such a great list last week. This one eats.
Well, you don't know who's on the... You haven't guessed the right people yet.
The Outsiders.
I thought about them. But because they were just cool guys anyway. They could have had sunglasses or they could have been wearing bifocals. It wouldn't have mattered.
Oh, I got one in Kevin's wheelhouse. Johnny Polo.
No.
The Dudley Boys.
Sunglasses, Matt.
The Dudley Boys.
Sunglasses, T-Dog.
Hollywood Hogan.
Hollywood Hogan, number 5.
What?
On the list, bro. When he turned into Hollywood, he was all about them shades.
Ric Flair?
Oh, stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
Stop what? Ric Flair used to come out with sunglasses on all the time.
Not any time when he was about to wrestle.
How many do we have?
Oh, God, I don't know. You got 1.
5, maybe?
3, 4, 5. Yeah, you got 5.
All right, good. We're done. That's top 5.
That's a good point.
All right. Now, if the Big Boss Man's not on there, I doubt he's on here, but I'm going to say the Mountie.
No. 8 is questionable. I'll give you 8, but I don't think it's questionable.
All right, then don't give it to us.
All right. I'll say he's a Hall of Famer. Actually, a lot of these guys are Hall of Famers.
Greg Valentine.
No.
Greg Valentine used to wear sunglasses a lot.
God.
Batista.
Oh.
Taz.
Taz is a good guess, not on the list.
Brother.
All right.
Is this strictly WWF?
No. Most of it is, but a tag team is not.
The Hollywood Blondes?
No.
Edge and Christian.
Edge and Christian's on the list at number 4.
Nice. Good call, dude. Good call.
They made sunglasses a part of their shtick for a long time. Number two. I can't wait for you guys to get number 2.
We're missing we're missing 4 and we're missing number 2.
How the fuck are we missing number 2?
It's not fucking
who?
Jesse the Body Ventura.
8, 9. Jesse the Body Ventura is number 10.
All right, so Jesse the Body Ventura.
That's fair. You're missing 9, you're missing 8, and you're missing 2.
Adam Bomb.
Goggles. He would have been number 1.
Zack Ryder?
No, come on. Who's that guy?
You're Googling
lists of sunglass wrestlers, aren't you, Tony?
Sunglass wrestlers. Sunglasses.
You guys are missing the most obvious one of them all.
Dude Love?
No. 9 and 8 are tough, too. Should be a lock.
Marty Scurll.
No.
Johnny Valentine.
No. Because we're running out of time, I will say that number 2 is probably the only one that actually wrestled in them. If he did, I could be wrong.
Mr. Hughes.
Wow. All right. I give Kevin credit for that one. That's a good one.
Number 2.
I don't know if I put it number 2, but that's a good one.
Because he wrestled in them.
He did wrestle in them quite a bit.
Oh, the Freebirds?
T-Donk. Freebirds are number 9.
All right, I'll take it.
They ousted Harlem Heat. It was between them, Sasha Banks, and Harlem Heat. And I probably could have taken 8 out of the equation and put one of them in. 8 is one that maybe I'd like to have back. But I think it's good. Just because I didn't think of all the rest till after him. And he was already cemented in.
All right, who else we got?
Is it Jimmy Hart? He's not a wrestler, though, right?
No, not Jimmy Hart.
Come on, Daddy. Got sunglasses on, Daddy.
All right, you got to give it to us, Kev.
He's a Hall of Famer that everyone thinks should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Coco Beware.
There it is. Coco Beware. Shades coming in with the glitz and glamour. Bird.
No, what number was that?
That was at number 8.
All right, no, I mean, that's fair. We just didn't think of him.
Yeah.
What was the other one we were missing?
That was it. You got them all.
We only missed number 8?
8, and I had to give you a really good hint for number 2.
Fair enough. All right, you know what? Okay with it, Matt. What about you?
I liked it. I think you missed a couple.
Of course. I mean, there were some. I didn't think about Rick Martel at all. I thought about HBK and Diesel, but Diesel, at what point did he not? When he was his biggest star, he stopped wearing shades, really, so. Yeah. All right. Big Boss Man was a good one.
Well done.
Alrighty, Brew.
All right, Tony, what do you got? Is it me versus Kevin?
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Can You Beat That?
I'm scared.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin preparing for his 500th episode showdown with champion Kate the Great.
That's not happening tonight. That's not a thing.
Matt, welcome back to the show. How do you feel tonight, buddy? You feel like you're more prepared to take on KJG?
I feel really good. I think I've had a couple good runs. My brain wasn't as sharp as it should be, but I feel like I've practiced all week, so I'm ready to go.
Practice.
Awesome. And Kevin, welcome back, my man. How you doing? How you feeling? What do you hear? What do you say?
Oh, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Loving it. Loving the pod tonight. Great guests. Good stuff. Love it. Let's go.
All right. I'm so glad that you guys are enthused about this. Let's go over the rules real quick. I have 2 questions here with 2 topics with 2 sets of answers. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pose the topics of the questions. I'm going to give Matt the opportunity to go first because he's the returning. He's the guy that's coming in to challenge Kevin.
I would like to defer.
All right.
I would like Kevin to go first. Choose
which topic he wants to go for. Wait.
Shouldn't it be the champion's choice whether he gets the kick or return?
The champion's not here, Kevin. Kate's not.
I'm the champion. I won last week.
You are the interim champion, and every time I go first, you complain, so I would like to defer to the champion. You decide who goes first, champion. Fake champion, former champion, paper champion. Paper champion, you go first.
Realest guy in the room, bada boom. All right, Tony, the rules.
I'm going to give out a topic. I'm going to tell you how many possible answers there are for said topic. You're going to tell me how many answers you think you can get correctly, and I'm going to put it to your opponent and ask them if they can beat that. If they think they can answer more, they're going to throw out another number. This is going to go back and forth until one person says, okay, you want to take a shot, you answer it. If that person gets all the answers correct, they will get a point. If they miss just one answer, their opponent gets a point. First person to 2 points wins, and if we're tied after the first two questions, we got a hell of a tiebreaker to go to. So who's going to tell me what they want to do first? Is it going to be Matt or is it going to be Kevin? You guys decide. Who's going first?
Ball's in your court, champ.
Matt, let's let Matt go first.
All right, Matt, give it to me.
I've got two topics for you, Matt. The first topic, Gaijin Ichiban. That has 8 possible answers. And I've got I.C. Prince. That has 10 possible answers. Matt, you want to go with Gaijin Ichiban or I.C. Prince?
Let's go with Gaiji Ichiban, por favor.
Matt, in the history of the International Wrestling Grand Heavyweight Championship proper, not talking about the championship series before 1987, which pretty much Antonio Inoki won all of them, save for the first one, which was won by Hulk Hogan. There have been 8 Gaijin that have won said championship. Matt, how many can you name?
2.
Kevin, Matt says he can name 2 Gaijin that have won the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Kevin, question to you is, can you beat that?
All right, so we're not talking about like a tournament winner. We're talking about the actual belt holders, right?
Talking about the belt holders where the belt was officially established. I mean, in fairness, the belt was established through the tournaments, the actual belt proper, in June of 1987. However, the tournament results are not affected by any of the Gaijin answers. So, yes. So from 1987 to present day, there have been 8 Gaijin that have won. And by Gaijin, we mean non-Japanese wrestlers, just for clarification.
Okay, all right. That makes it a little easier. Probably not a lot easier, but a little easier. I can do 3.
Matt, Kevin says he can do 3. The question to you, can you beat that?
I can do 4.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Matt says he can do 4. There's only 8 possible answers. Question.
There's only 8?
Question to you, Kevin. Can you beat that? That says 4.
I see. He can do it. I can do That's the only thing.
Well, the question to you is, can you beat that?
From what years to current?
It's pretty much It's June of 1987.
I can do 4.
Matt said
he could do 4. I can do 5.
Matt, Kevin says he can do 5. The question to you is, can you beat that?
I can do all 8.
Son of a bitch.
Kevin, it's out of your hands now. This is up to Matt. Matt, in the history of the proper
Wait, I don't get it. I can't match saying that I can do 8?
No.
That's not my fault.
You're fucking weak. You can't, dude. You can't.
But that's not my fault that he said 8 before I said 8.
You can absolutely do that.
Do you think you... I will gladly let you try and name 8.
It's not in the rule book.
Matt, are you 100% positive you can name all 8?
I have 8 names written down here, and I am 99.9%. There's one on here, and I will save him for last.
So would it be more fun if I tried to guess 8? And then?
I mean, do you want to lose?
Let me go.
You sure, Kevin? He's given you an opportunity of a lifetime here. Probably some great show fodder.
I mean, I know at least 6. I think. Ah, all right, Matt, go do it. Fuck it.
Not Matt, gonna be that guy again. 8 gaijin that have won the proper IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Whenever you are ready, sir.
Oh God, I know them all.
Wait, all right.
Matt, no, Matt, go, Matt, go.
We're gonna go with Tony's favorite, Mr. Jay White.
Jay White, one-time champion. That's one.
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles, two-time champion. That's two.
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega, one-time champion. That's three.
The man they call Vader.
Vader, a three-time champion. That's four.
Brock Lesnar.
One-time champion. That's five.
Kurt Angle.
Matt, I'm sorry. That is an incorrect answer. Kurt Angle is not an IWGP proper champion. That's the third belt that was in the Noki Geom Federation. I'm sorry.
It's the same belt Brock Lesnar had.
Sorry.
He won it in an IWGP match.
Sorry.
I call bullshit on this.
I would have gone with Scott Norton.
I had Scott Norton on my list.
Scott Norton's on the list.
Bob Sapp.
He's Sapp also on my list.
And that's all I would have got.
The last one, I don't think.
Jericho?
No. This was during Inoki's MMA series. Salman Hashimikov, who defeated Big Van Vader for the title in May of 1989.
Gross. All right. I'm 1-0.
That's bullshit.
Oh no.
Get it, Matt. Listen. Look, I'm not going to argue with him.
He's listed as an IWGP champion.
Where?
Title was vacated due to Lesnar refusing to return and defend it. Lesnar kept the physical championship belt, which was later recognized by the Inoki Geom Federation as their first champion using the same belt. That's the IWGP third belt, which is not proper of the lineage. The lineage continues when Tanahashi, my man, defeated Giant Bernard in a tournament final to replace the title a month after Lesnar vacated it. Sorry, brother.
All right.
Kevin is up 1-0, and I know Kate is fucking chomping somewhere.
Listen, let's call spade a spade. Matt's going to let her call in at some point, regardless of what happens.
I have no control over who calls what. So. You do realize that, right?
Nope, I did not know that until right now. I thought you did.
Now, Kevin, I thought for sure that question was in Matt's wheelhouse, and I think that this question is probably more suited for your wheelhouse. This question is under the topic IC Prince. Kevin and Matt.
You love your Intercontinental title references.
Well, the reference is because Prince had a very famous song called 1999. Kevin, the question that I pose to the two of you now. In the year 1999, there were 10 men who held the Intercontinental Championship in the World Wrestling Federation. 10 people, that held the Intercontinental Championship in 1999. Kevin, we'll start with you.
That's good. It's a fucking great question, by the way.
Of course it is. That's what I do.
I'll say three.
Matt, Kevin says he can name three. Question
I'm
going to you,
say
sir.
I can name five.
Kevin, Matt says he can name five.
I can name six.
Matt, Kevin says he can name six. The question to you is, can you beat that?
I can name seven.
One, two, Kevin, Matt says he can name seven.
Matt can name seven in 99?
I'm kind of surprised, too.
I was still in 99, ladies.
See, this is what I was thinking about. Matt was still in for a little while at this point.
Matt, that's seven?
Matt said seven.
I can name eight easily.
Matt, Kevin says he can name eight. The question back to you, sir, is can you beat that?
I can name nine.
Kevin, Matt says he can name nine Intercontinental Champions. From 1999.
All right, give me a second.
I will clarify. This does not mean that they won the belt in 99. We're counting if there was a carryover, that champion as well, because technically that champion held the belt in 1999. So this is not a who won the belt in 99. This is a who held the belt in 99.
Oh, God.
Matt says 9.
Oh, I could do 10.
Matt, Kevin says he can do 10. Do you want to challenge this at all? Or are you going to let Kevin name all 10?
Oh, wait, that 10 is the limit?
Yeah, there's 10 answers.
Oh.
Matt, you want to ring the safety bell or are you going to let Kevin do it? This is the tough part of the game, sir.
Fuck. All right.
Kevin.
Here's the problem. If I don't think I can name 10, then I know he's going to win.
Well,
I have 10 names written down.
Then again, you also thought you could win the last one.
That's true. But if I'm going to go out, I'm going out on my shield. Oh. I'll say I can name all 10.
Kevin, this is up to you. Do you want to answer the question or do you defer to Matt?
I thought we didn't have that option. If you can name all 10, that's his deal, right?
Didn't we just do this on the last question?
Yeah, we never got anything accomplished.
All right, so Kevin's going to keep control of the board then, Matt. Sorry.
No. Matt, I didn't name him. Matt named him the last time, so Matt has to name him this time.
All right, let me do it.
All right, so you're deferring to Matt then.
I don't have it. I thought I didn't have a choice.
No, you have the choice. You said you could name all 10. I'm just asking if you want to defer to him because he says he can do it too.
Oh, all right. Never mind. I didn't realize that's how it went.
That's how we did it the last question. I thought it'd be only fair to you because you gave him the courtesy.
I'll let him do it.
Matt, 10 people have held the Intercontinental Championship in the World Wrestling Federation in the year 1999.
Because I can do it.
You said you can name all 10 whenever you're ready, sir.
All right. Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett actually held the belt 3 times in 1999. That's 1.
Fuck me. China.
Well, I'm sorry?
China.
That's 2.
Okay. She beat Jarrett. Jericho?
Jericho. That's 3.
Okay, so that makes sense. Those 3 go together. Oh, fuck me.
Kev, how you doing? You would have had all 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Goldust.
Goldust, 4.
The Godfather?
Godfather, 5.
They're going to pull the Godfather out. I didn't think he was going to get that one.
D'Lo Brown, because he was like a double champion, right?
D'Lo Brown, 6. Got 4 more to go, buddy.
Edge,
7.
Oh,
3
fuck.
To go.
I didn't think I was going to get this far. I don't trust these last 3 names. The Road Dog.
Oh, God. Stop. You know that was right.
Was that an answer?
It was an answer.
Yes?
All right.
Wait, no, Road Dog. You said Road Dog?
I said Road Dog.
That's right, I think.
Yeah, no, that's right. I didn't know, Kev, because you were talking over him. Calm down.
I'm sorry.
2 more to go, Matt.
Val Venus.
Number 9. Oh, you've got 1 to go.
I have 1 name written down here, and it's either really right or really wrong. And I think you tipped the hand, so I'm going to say Ken Shamrock.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a tie. We are tied at 1-1. And I didn't tip my hand. I wanted to clarify because
I tipped the hand with Shamrock. Oh, I believe you.
Look at that list. You love it.
Good golly, Miss Molly. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I would have gotten as far as either one, like on either question. So bravo to both of you guys. Well, Kev, you would
add, I didn't do anything yet.
Kev, you would add all 10?
Yeah.
Wow.
I knew he would have. I had to try. I really thought I had
to. I feel like we need some like tense music here. Let me see.
Hey, listen, I can't complain if I win this way. I can't complain if I lose this way.
Here we go. Let me see. Folks, I feel like the Hell in the Cell is coming down from the ceiling. It's time for the tiebreaker. And since Matt played both questions, I'm going to let Kevin decide if he wants to go first on this one. This one is called Feeling Groovy. This one has six possible answers, Kevin.
Feeling Groovy?
Groovy?
Groovy.
G-R-O-O-B-Y? Or is there a V in there? What's a groovy?
In the year 2010, six wrestlers starred in the feature-length film The Gruber.
Oh.
How many wrestlers can you name of the six?
How many?
There's six possible.
Six? I can name five.
Matt, Kevin says he can name five of the six wrestlers that starred in MacGruber. The question to you, can you beat that?
No. Kevin, go ahead.
Kevin, six wrestlers starred in the 2010 theatrical release of MacGruber. You said you can name five of them. Kevin, whenever you're ready.
Mark Henry.
Mark Henry is one.
I'm only thinking because I don't want to. I may be mistaking MacGruber and Longest Yard. Chris Jericho was definitely in it.
That's two.
MVP was in it.
That's three. You need two more.
Kane was in it.
That's four. You need one more, Kevin.
I said Jericho, Kane, Mark Henry, MVP. Oh, God.
You've got two possible answers.
Wasn't Big Show wasn't in it? Was Big Show in it? I said Jericho. Fuck. Was Big Show in it? I don't think he was. MVP, Mark Henry, Jericho. Batista wasn't in it. Great Kelly.
Correct. Damn.
I was confusing that in Longest Yard. Was Big Show in it too?
Kevin, Big Show would have been number six, but it doesn't matter because you got five of the six, like you said. Ladies and gentlemen, 2 points to one. Your winner, Mr. Kevin Garifo. Kevin, you should be proud, brother. That was a hell of a play right there.
It's a weird memory thing with me. The only thing I couldn't think of was like, I thought it was like a Dolph Ziggler. Like, I wanted to guess him too.
Now, I got to ask you guys, what'd you think of the questions this time?
I liked them.
I liked that final one. It wasn't too easy, was it?
The MacGruber one was easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it? I liked them all because they were different levels of difficulty. Yeah. Kevin likes the MacGruber one because he got it right. But when I did Goonies Are Good Enough, I got screamed at.
By who?
Kevin was very upset because he lost that one.
Wait, which one was that?
Name all the wrestlers in the Goonies Are Good Enough video.
And I remember I was in Wildwood. I was taking a shit and I was listening to the show. So I was like, I know this one. This is awesome. So I
the only like, way to listen to the show, by the way.
You saying that name right now, I still have no idea what it is.
The video for the Goonies, Cyndi Lauper, all the wrestlers were in it.
I get it. But if you when you explain it, I understand what it is. But when you just say Goonies aren't good enough, I still have no idea what that is. So.
Wow. Kevin's younger than us.
Ornery when he lost.
A little bit. Well, he didn't lose tonight.
I'm still kind of ornery now.
What was that?
Marshall Adkinson tried to call in.
The Von Erichs?
That Marshall Von Erich? I got that too.
Wait, you saw that, right?
Yeah, I did.
Maybe they got their t-shirts. Come on in, Marshall.
Dude, I don't know what that was.
Is he on?
No,
son of a bitch, I'm out. Get out of here. I'm done.
What happened?
I know who really tried to call in.
Did someone mute her?
Oh, I didn't. Maybe Kevin did.
Did you mute
Kate? I turned my video off.
No, your video is still very much on, Kevin.
Oh.
Kevin left. No.
TV Guide is like a huge fucking issue. Oh, God. Not TV Guide, but MacGruber. Oh, that's fucking cool. MacGruber's fine. let's name a Groover, but TV Guide, a staple of pop culture. Oh, this is too fucking much for me.
Kevin,
come really... on.
Okay, Kevin left.
Of course he fucking, oh my God. Like,
well,
typical
listen,
coward.
Listen, since he's not here, I'm going to have to defend him. He did win tonight.
He puts in great performances, except for when he's against me. He's great. He just can't. It's like until the Washington Nationals finally won this year, how they just kept going to the NLDS and the NLCS and just will keep biting it. Like, he's like that. You know what I mean? And it's just the excuses. Like, I'm so tired of the excuses from Kevin. Like, just eat your L's. Today, he fucking defers to Matt.
He's like that.
I mean, he's going to defer to Matt after this all I beat myself bullshit. Come on, man.
Hey, I can't speak for Kevin, but he did have a hell of a performance tonight. He let Matt eat his nuts on the New Japan question, and Matt redeemed himself. And
a strategy that I used that he criticized, but I guess he's just now copying the champion.
Hey,
he hangs up because he's too cowardly to face the champion, and now he calls back to defend himself. Oh, big boy, Kevin. Good thing you have Manscaped to fucking take care of your balls that you don't fucking have.
Wow.
I can't even be mad at that. That's a great plug. First of all, size of grapefruits.
Kevin's gonna need two lawnmowers for those bad boys.
That's right.
Is that why you?
I'm gonna need a John Deere.
Is that why you cower at me?
Kate,
I don't want to face Kate
on the 500th. I don't want to lose on my big 500th episode.
I don't like the side of you. I don't like it at all.
Kate the Great.
I don't even
Kate
like the side of me, Kevin. But you bring it out.
Kate the Great.
Matt.
Yes.
Why are you giving this platform? I'm done.
Matt. What kind of preparation are you doing for the showdown on the 500th episode? Oh. Are you having Trevor quiz you? Are the D-Generation Y guys quizzing you? What are you doing to prepare for the showdown in Tinseltown?
I'm studying. I'm listening back to old episodes. I'm playing a ton of Sporkle. I'm fucking ready to go.
Sporkle is a great brain activity. I will tell you that.
I'm training. I am fucking training. I'm ready to go.
Well, Kate, it looks like you have made Kevin leave the show, but we look forward to your showdown in 2 weeks on the big 500th episode, and I look forward to chatting AEW with you. I don't know why I just said it like that. On Wednesday night on the AEW Dynamite post show.
I look forward to it, too, and I hope the Kevin that showed up tonight is the Kevin I get, because I'm sick of B-plus player Kevin. I want fucking can name everyone in a category Kevin. That's the Kevin Grifo I want. A good champion brings that out of people, I think.
Oh, well, we can only hope for that Kevin to show up on our 500th episode for this showdown of the century. Kate, thanks for calling in, as always. If you are not watching the Ring of Honor TV program, I highly recommend you watch it. They just started it up again. The Pure Championship tournament is going, and they did an awesome job introducing the competitors and these first two matches. Jonathan Gresham against Wheeler Utah and Dalton Castle against Jay Lethal. And the Dalton Castle video that they showed beforehand may have had Dalton Castle turn on me, so I'm just gonna let you know that now.
Ooh.
Fuck Dalton Castle.
We are the Shining Wizards. Next week, Chris Gethard joins us. Big thanks to Todd Canley and Dave LaGreca.
Canley, you dipshit.
Todd Canley and Dave LaGreca, who joined us tonight on the Shining
Wizards.
Joe
Galley for the run-in
wrestling podcast and a Joe Galley special. Chris Gethard will be with us next week, a little later in the show, so expect a lot of nonsense early. Because Chris has to put his baby to bed, and then he will be joining us to talk all things wrestling, Chris Gethard. So please tune in and enjoy the show. ShiningWizards.com is the website. Follow us on all social media at Wizards Podcast. We'll be doing another giveaway this week, so be sure to follow us on Twitter, and you can win a free box of wizardry from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. I'm Matt, and that's Tony and Kevin, and Kate is here, and we are off to episode 499.
See ya! All right, I still haven't hung up on the dashboard yet. Goodbye, everybody.